Hello and welcome to the Adeptus Terra podcast, episode 44. I'm Matt.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Neil.
And here we are with another episode. Quick disclaimer. Our guys are currently still in the building and playing games and stuff from our gaming group. We were recording a bit early, so you may hear faint noises of Tim and others. He's our loud friend. And yeah, just hopefully ignore it. Hopefully you don't hear anything at all, but we thought we'd put this here so you knew what was going on, and they should disappear soon, hopefully to their homes.
Yeah, I think they're packing up now.
Cool. Anyway, so this episode, we are covering the Xenos Titans, which will be a fun kind of amalgamation of races.
Yep.
We have our Terra Talks segment covering Salute. Me and Neil went to Salute this month.
We did.
Last weekend, actually. So we're going to be talking about that, and Sam's going to be asking us all sorts of questions to keep him involved, bless him.
Thanks. I'm that friend. You know,
yeah, it's the pity keep involved.
Yeah.
Sorry you had to miss it, but now you can hear all about it. Other things to advertise with you guys. The new Facebook group, the Adeptus Terra podcast community safe room.
Yep.
Did I do that all right? Does it have community in it, or is it just safe room?
No, I don't know. Hang on.
Like it should have community in it, but I think that might be the type of group it is. You know, I mean, you have to select a
Adeptus Terra podcast. Oh, it's searching. Community safe room. Oh, the internet here is so bad.
Yep.
I have no internet. It's that bad.
Yeah.
It is called the Adeptus Terra Podcast Community Safe Room.
I did it.
You did it right.
You did
amazing.
It right. It's
The exit of the show, I got something right.
For those who are just going to type it straight in, it's obviously facebook.com/groups/TATPC community.
The sneezing was Tom.
Yes, of course, yes,
definitely Tom. it's TATPC community, because you know I like to put the Adeptus Terra pod space. Cast.
No, you haven't done that.
TATPCC.
What?
It's the Adeptus Terra podcast community. TATPCC.
But what? It's not acronymed. What are you talking about?
On the URL.
On the URL. Groups, that's fine. Slash. I don't care about that. Just go on Facebook like normal people. Look for us. You will find a link very quickly to the Community Safe Room, which is our new group where we can engage with you guys. You guys can engage with each other. And it's so far been a really positive, safe place for people to come and share their 40K hobby, which is exactly what we want. We're in celebration of that, giving away our Horus Heresy Model Masterclass Volume 1 book. It was donated to us by a lovely listener, Matt. And we are giving that away next episode. So make sure you're part of that group by the time we record in May. I got confused what month we were in. in our May recording, which is towards the end of the month, like normal, we will be announcing the winner. So you've got the next 4 roughly weeks to get to be a part of that. And it's a great place to be, so why wouldn't you want to? What else? Anything else, guys? Oh, next hangout date. So technically we've still got one to do this month. That's next weekend.
Which Sam will be hosting, because my internet's spotty.
Okay, then. I'll be hosting. Neil's internet is spotty. Where's my phone? Carry on.
Our next hobby hangout over Google Hangouts will be May the 27th. That's going to be hosted by Neil. So hopefully he's got internet up by that time.
I have my fingers crossed.
Yes. So Sam will be graciously hosting next week's one.
It's going to go good.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'll hopefully be around. I'll try and make sure I'm around for that as well, Sam.
Good.
I think that's it. I think that's all I've got on the notes. So anything else going on that we need to mention, guys, that I've forgotten?
No, not really. It's quite quiet.
It's quite nice.
Wow.
Yeah, we're done, that one.
So, straight into news from Terra then. Previous hobby commitments then, gentlemen. Shall we start with you, Neil?
Yeah.
I want to start with you.
You're going to start with me. We'll
Fair
start
enough.
On that.
What was your previous hobby commitment?
My previous hobby commitment was to do, in inverted commas, salamander stuff. I did some salamander stuff,
so
but not a lot.
Okay.
I built the Forge World, or some of the Forge World Mark III's that I've got. I do not want to build any more of them.
I remember you talking about that.
They are horrible to build, so I shall be replacing them with plastic ones. I also made a start on the bases
for
those guys, so I've got 5 bases made up, ready to be painted. But to be honest with you, I didn't really do much because I've just bought a flat.
Indeed. Spoilers for purchases. That's hobby progress, because hobby will be involved in that building.
Yes, indeed.
But yes, so, well, so, yeah. First, congratulations. Well
Thank
done.
Thank you.
It's been going well, seeing all the decorating pictures.
Yes, decorating.
maybe we'll talk more about that if you want to in purchases. But yeah, cool. You got some stuff done. That's awesome. Sam, I feel like distraction is going to win here, but possibly I'm doing you a disservice.
Yeah. So my hobby commitments for last month was to paint my Thanatar and some more Tyranids. I, in theory, did both. I did paint my Thanatar, and I did do some Tyranids. So it all works out.
Yep.
Would you like to elaborate?
Yeah, I want some more detail.
So the Thanatar is all of the silver is done and washed and highlighted. I just need to do the base, put them together, and then weather. I was going to do weathering before, but then I thought I might wait till he's on the base to kind of see where it falls naturally. So he's nearly there. By the time Septico goes out, I'll probably be done.
Awesome.
But I did get distracted with other hobby progress. And Tyranids, I created a fantastic painting stick and resprayed the last of the Gene Stealers.
Okay, that's some Tyranid stuff.
Yeah, so I did that, and then I was going to do more Tyranids, and then I got distracted. So, yeah, it was fine. It was okay. I did some hobby, not a tremendous amount. April was pretty mental. I've been away for a week and stuff. And
yes.
So yeah.
Yeah, I did lose a whole week. It's been a bit of a weird month for me. So
yeah.
Going into my previous hobby commitments, I haven't really got any reason why I haven't achieved this, other than I did already aimed quite high.
Yeah.
But I was going for a fully painted Recon Squad, Contemptor Dreadnought, and a Primarch in a month. That's probably a little bit crazy. It's been quite a busy month in general. I also was away for a week on holiday. Couldn't do any hobby while I was away. Then it was part of our Easter holidays here in the UK, so I had lots of work with kids outside of school. Being a youth worker, reminding people, just
like my brain's going, please say youth worker, please.
Yeah, just in case. Hopefully, most people listen have learnt that, but I probably haven't mentioned that for a while, so I'll just put that in there just to clarify. But yeah, so nearly 2 weeks wiped out of a month. I've been working hard on the Recon Squad. I was painting them earlier during the club rather than gaming. They're close to being done, probably within the next painting session. So yes, I did some painting rather than gaming, which was quite nice. It was all detail work, so I really didn't want to do it. I wanted to talk to my friends, and I kept getting up and walking around the gaming tables to see how games were going. But I got a lot of details done. Yeah, the Recon Squad could be done within this next week, 100% easy.
Cool.
Even if I got distracted or didn't have that much time, they are very close. Pretty much weathering and basing now.
Fair enough.
So that's good. Dreadnought and Curs just didn't even touch, just never got there. It's a shame. I really want my Night Lords fully painted so I can play some 3,000 point games. I was reminded today that no one else has got a fully 3,000 point painted army, so technically I can't play anyone yet anyway.
Does that mean you're going to win?
Win what?
The first painted.
I might actually be the first completed. Yeah.
Right.
You can do it!
I need to buy some
stuff. You still need to buy some stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I've got 2 drop pods on the top of that, but they'll be very quick. The Dreadnought drop pod was really quick, so it'll be fine. But they're the 3 main units that need to be painted. So Recon Squad, hopefully finished soon. Dreadnought and Curs, I guess, will be talked about right at the end of this episode. Mm. But yeah, that's my previous hobby commitment. Next, shall we move on to purchases, gentlemen?
Yes.
Cool. So first thing to say is me and Neil are going to talk about our Salute purchases in our Salute segment. Gives us something to talk about in there.
Yes, it does.
So other than that, the only purchases I had was I bought 10 stickers from redbubble.com.
Yeah, I couldn't get my head around this. Is that stickers?
Yeah.
Stickers?
So on the community group,
yep.
I put up a photo of my silver double KR case, which currently I think will be able to hold my entire 3,000 points.
Nice.
So that'll be what I take away with me in September.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So I was thinking lots of people are probably going to have KR cases, potentially silver doubles. I wanted to be able to find my army easily, pick out where I left it, all that kind of jazz.
Yeah.
Just personalize it. And I think I got an email from Redbubble where we buy our podcast shirts from.
Yep.
Just saying, deal on stickers. So I went on there and looked at Warhammer 40,000, and there's hundreds. So I just picked out 10, pretty much one that represents at least every 40K army that I play and my Night Lords.
Cool.
Picked a podcast sticker out. So I've got a podcast sticker on there. And then a couple of kind of just various, like Servo Skull and something else. And it's pretty much filled the top of the KR case.
Okay.
So it'll be easy to spot, personalizes it
yeah.
at an event, so no one can just pick it up and be like, no, it's my one. It's very easy to see that that's definitely my case.
Definitely yours, yeah.
Did you put the photo of that on the community page?
Yes. Not on our page, but on the group. The community safe room.
Yeah. So if you want to go check it out, go and join our fantastic group and win a Horus Heresy Model Masterclass Volume 1 book.
Well hopefully. Done. Good segue.
How I do it.
But yeah, so I ordered those. And Sam, you were interested in getting a few, weren't you?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea to differentiate between cases.
It'll help at the club as well, because we all have the same case.
I think I was
going to
say, we do all have that case.
Yeah. I think it'd be good to get some.
I want a couple more just to fill the space. I've got a couple of little panels that need a bit more.
Well, let me know. Let me know which ones you want, and I'll add them to my order.
Yeah, because if you get a deal if there's 5 or more, and then an even more discount at 10 or more, and I found that I had 6 or 7 that I wanted, definite, but if I added 3 more, it was actually a cheaper order.
Okay.
So, it'd be cool to get a couple more.
Cool. Sounds good.
But that's me, other than stuff I bought at Salute. So.
Go ahead, Neil.
Right. So, apart from the stuff that I bought at Salute, what did I buy? Oh, yeah. I bought a flat.
Indeed.
As you do.
The big purchase of the month.
The big purchase of the month.
I suppose ongoing, but
was it
been
terrifying?
Finalized.
What else did I buy? Oh, I bought some paint for the flat.
Oh, right. Amazing.
And also bought a belt sander.
Okay.
Yeah, I was confused at this, because I thought for the flat, and then I was like, a belt sand? What would you need to belt sand?
Forge World Resin?
Yeah. No. I got the belt sander to do some stuff with the walls, just to smooth them off a little bit in places, and then I had the genius idea, I can use it in the future to bevel bases.
Okay,
MDF.
Oh, right, okay.
So clamp the MDF down to something and you just quickly blast it over the top of it.
Yeah, make them slightly smaller, won't they?
Well, you cut them bigger to bevel them so they...
If you're cutting your own MDF bases, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel that's reaching. Like, I feel that's the type of thing I'd say to warrant buying a belt sander. Like, I want to buy a chainsaw at the moment, so I'm trying to find all the reasons to have a chainsaw to...
I need to cut down Kelly. Some trees in my back garden.
Ah, see? I need to cut down one tree, so I obviously need a chainsaw.
I've got a tree that is blocking my driveway. Unfortunately, it is on the street, so something needs to happen to it.
Cool. Right, some, that's three reasons.
Some rogue with a chainsaw.
It needs to disappear, i.e. either be dead, before I could possibly get a drop curb put in.
I could do that. Be a bit weird. Just cut and run. Well, really, it is in Southend, so that would make sense.
Amazing.
For those who don't know, Southend is quite a...
various places.
Various places in Southend are quite a dodgy, scary, snappy, druggy, All of the above.
In various areas, yes, all of the above.
Neil lives in the nice area.
Ish. Not that too far from a brothel.
That Matt frequents?
No.
Well, that was awkward. Let's move on.
I have no idea if it is. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Who knows? It probably is. yeah, moving on from that, Sam.
Well, that's a move by surprise.
That is the worst segue ever.
yeah.
Moving
just
on.
Just move on. Just
Sam,
quick.
Your turn. what have I done? This month, I purchased 2 boxes of Skatari.
In two different locations.
In two different currencies. In two different time zones. So I needed... So my Skatari, for those who don't know, I'm using Skatari models instead of the Thrall models from Forge World as my Thralls from Forge World. For my 30k list, because I had a really bad experience of painting servitors when I bought the Tech Marine that one time. You know, it comes with 3 servitors,
yes.
and it was fine cast, and it was the worst thing ever.
It was
and
indeed.
Painting them was so horrible. It was almost like they were porous, like they were just sucking up paint. And since then, I've vowed never to paint another servitor. So hence why I've gone with Skatari.
Yeah.
So I bought 2 boxes of them, one from Northampton and one from Amsterdam.
So, where are you going to paint the flag
on
of
the, yeah, you're right.
Of
I need to
the
do
Netherlands.
That.
Only one dude.
Only one guy needs it. Maybe one of the cloaks would just be one giant flag. That would be good. That would be so hard.
But then they all need to tie
in somehow.
Do you have any
sergeants or characters in the entire...
No, you don't have that.
Oh. It doesn't exist. Why don't you, when you line them all up, paint like a third of them one colour, third of them the other colour, and then they are the flag.
That could be cool.
That'd be cool, and then you can just mix them up, and who cares?
Mm.
As long as it's like either the cloaks do it or the front somehow the front does it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose in a less crazy idea, you could do it with the heads because they've got robotic heads or something like that. Just so it's you can see it, but it's not crazy jump out in your
obvious.
Face.
Yeah. Yeah, so as some people may know, a lot of my models, whenever I go overseas and there's a Games Workshop, I generally will try and buy something from that Games Workshop. So I've got my Baneblade, not Baneblade, sorry, my Hellhound is from Italy. One of my, what's from France?
I can't remember.
Oh,
it's got your French flag on it. Is
it,
it?
Sorry, Blood Angels. No. No, it's not. I don't know. Anyway, a tank or vehicle, probably.
Yeah, it is a vehicle of some kind. I feel like it's a flyer, but I don't know why.
Mm. It's got the French flag on it.
Mm-hmm.
So now this will have to have the Netherlands flag on it.
Yes.
Somewhere. And it's inventory, so it's the first time you've had to incorporate a flag into inventory.
Yes, yeah. So it'll be exciting. It will be exciting.
Yes.
So I bought those 2 boxes, Northampton and Amsterdam. I also bought my ticket to the narrative event in September that Matt and Mark from Frostfring Studios.
For all your painting needs.
There we go.
Sorry, please leave the gap in because I fully forgot that was the thing. And Neil was looking at his phone, so neither of us said anything.
So they're going to. And so I finally purchased that and now I have something to work towards.
Go on. Sorry, I shouldn't have interrupted.
That's fine. So I'm currently working towards that to have a deadline to have stuff painted a few months before so I can have some games going on. I'm excited for that because it means I've got to get my list ready a little bit early so I can have a few 3K games to kind of feel out the list, figure out what rules I need to write down and take with me because I don't want to take a massive red book and stuff if I don't need to.
Yes.
So that would be pretty cool. I think the event is now fully sold out.
Yeah, there's a reserve list that's got a few people on. Dr. Andrew is now on that list.
Yes.
And Paul Spuddy Shaw is also on that reserve list.
Cool.
So a few guys, as we've been talking about it, have kind of started to kind of go, oh, well, I've wanted to go to that.
Yeah. It'd be cool. I'm really looking forward to
just
it.
Just hoping some other people don't pay so they can come.
Yeah. So I've got my day booked up for work. We're going to travel up there on the Friday. And just...
Spend the weekend playing Heresy.
Weekend playing Heresy, drinking lots of alcohol, and getting naked.
Johnny is there from the Sons of Heresy, so very possibly.
Hopefully it'll probably happen. So that's all I've actually purchased this month. that I could remember. Oh, no, you know what? Actually, no, I also purchased the second book in the Eisenhorn series.
Oh, cool. Have you finished the first one?
I finished it on holiday, so you
cool.
can have
so
it.
So I can have it you to read it. For next episode.
So next month, that's a really great segue. Thank you, Matthew. The next month, the book club will be the Dan Abnett. I want to say Dan Abnett. Xenos book, which is the first of the Eisenhorn series.
Yes.
Just finished it myself. I'm going to go back and make some quick notes before I give it to Matt on Tuesday.
Awesome.
And then Matt will read it. Neil loves the book, so he's read it already.
I've got to try and find it.
Okay. Find it and read it.
Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty good book. Definitely worth the buy. Eventually, probably do the whole series, so might as well buy all three of them. So the next one is Malleus. Is it Malleus?
Yes. Yeah, Malleus and then Hereticus.
Yeah.
And then Magos is the most recent one.
So I purchased Malleus as well when I was in Northampton.
Cool.
And yeah, so that's going to be read next, I think. Cool. That's all the purchases, right?
So, bonus hobby progress. I guess jump back into me. So mine is not particularly hobby progress in terms of paint on models or building or anything like that. But I've done lots of kind of organization. So after having the guys round on a Sunday, Tom came, Liam was down, so he came and hung out with me, which was awesome. And Chris came along, did some hobby and just talked 40K for a few hours. They all went home for dinner and Jenny was still out. So I was waiting for her to come back with Caleb and decided to sort out my 40K collection. I've really struggled this edition with just floating around, not really knowing what I have, what needs to be done, what I want to play. And I think that has been a real problem for me being motivated to take part in the hobby. So moved all the terrain off my gaming board and got all of my 40K collection out, laid it all out so I could see exactly what I needed to buy, what I needed to build, paint, everything like that, and stuff that I have to sell as well. So there's some various units that I'm not interested in using, and they're kind of put to one side, ready to sell once I kind of get them all boxed up and everything. So, yeah, there's my 500 points of Tempest of Scions, which need like a tech priest, and then they're done. Just buy, build, paint that guy, and they're done. 500 points of my Gene Stealer Force of Tyranids. So these are my kind of like Zone Mortalis little fun games to play, little skirmish things. I've got a 750 point Chaos Force that just needs painting, a 750 point Flesh Terror Force, which needs some models actually for it, but when I get there, I'll buy them, like scouts and a tactical squad, I think. And that army was originally a 1,500 point army. So what I've done is I've moved the Vindicator and the Bikes into my Space Wolves collection, potentially for repaint when they get a codex. And the Flyer, the Storm Raven, and the Baal Pred are on the selling block because I'm only running a little, small, inventory-only Zone Mortalis list. I don't need those big vehicles. Then I've got my 1,500-point Death Guard, which is just ready for painting. My future 1,500-point Catachan army is laid out, so I've now got a Hellhound, a Slime Arbo, and I'm using two Tauroxes that I already had as transports, and I purchased something towards that army at Salute. So, yeah, they're starting to grow. And then I have my large forces, my Orcs and my Space Wolves, which are currently kind of unpointed, waiting for codexes, and I'll see where I go with them.
Mm-hmm.
Currently thinking around 2 to 3K with those forces.
Cool.
And in terms of selling, the Orcs have taken on pretty much all of the trucks and buggies out of the unit, out of the force. I want to play more Horde, Walker-heavy kind of Orc list. That seems to me to match the Goths mentality, my Orc clan.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool to see what rules they get in the Orc Codex this time around for being Goths. So I'd probably...
I just had this image of Orcs with white faces and dark eyeshadow on.
Like the Crow.
Yeah. Going
you should paint one. You should paint one like that.
Yeah, I should. I don't know what... I have got a pain boy who's not painted. So if I end up using two pain boys, he can be the Crow.
Yeah, so I just had that image of Orcs dressed up as Goths.
Yeah, that's awesome. That'd be a cool thing. Someone must have done that. Definitely must have been done.
Sam, look that up.
But yeah, so the larger forces are really just there waiting to see what happens. They both don't have codexes in 8th edition.
No, they don't.
All the small forces actually do, in irony.
yes, they do actually,
so,
yeah.
So yeah, it's cool. Just kind of waiting. But it was really good to get them all out, see them all on the table. It motivated me. So like seeing all of my orcs laid out, like that many orc bodies and a few cool vehicles and conversions that I've got in that army, like just really motivated me to want to play them. Still waiting for a codex and focusing on my heresy right now for the event. But it was really cool to have that excitement again. I haven't had that for a while. So that was really cool. And the second thing I've been doing is I've started to make a kind of a list / rules pamphlet, booklet, whatever, for the Company of Legends event in September.
Yeah.
So this has a front page, obviously just with my name and stuff on it, so I can find it. And a little kind of background of my force, the units I've chosen and stuff. Like I've kind of written a tiny little backstory to the army. Then my 3,000-point list.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan is to have rules and stats of the units in my army with the equipment and their special rules as well. So technically to play, all I need is a rule book and this pamphlet.
Yeah.
It just means for the event, I haven't got to bring 3 red books with the Crusade army book or Age of Darkness army book, whatever they're called now. The Legions book just for like 3 pages of Night Lords.
Yeah.
And a rule book. So it eliminates 2 red books for me and just means I've got my 10-page pamphlet booklet thing and my rule book.
Cool.
So, yeah. So I've been working on that on the computer. It's starting to look pretty cool.
Nice.
When I've finished it, I'll post it up so people can see it in the Facebook group.
In all its glory.
Yeah. It'll look good.
Which Facebook group is that?
The Adeptus Terra Podcast Community Safe Room.
Awesome.
Right, so anyway, that's all I've been doing, just organisation stuff and working towards this list, pamphlet, booklet thing.
That's a good idea, I might do that.
Yeah, I'll show you what I've got so far.
It does look good.
Can even use the same template, just change the pictures.
Yeah, awesome.
Good.
Cool. Right, my bonus hobby progress ain't so good. That's where I'm going next.
Mine's been productive, but in the grand scheme of things, nothing really changed. I just got all my models out and pretended that was hobby progress. It's like, well, no, I've got them out. Woohoo!
I had to go using my rock molds, and I wanted to test to see whether filler actually works as rocks.
No.
Does
it just crumble?
Yeah, it doesn't hold together very well, unfortunately. That was my bonus hobby progress. That was my bonus hobby progress. I'll get that word out eventually.
Hobby progress.
So,
on the upscale from Niels...
I don't want to gloss over that too much, because we haven't got a warp storm this episode, so...
Why doesn't it not make good rocks?
Not just why, but just like...
How did you do it? What did you do?
Don't talk so down about it, is more my point.
It was more of an experiment, so... The rock molds that I've got are the Woodland Scenic ones. Yep. I've got a selection of 4.
Are they like the rubber ice cream cherries type things?
Yeah. They're vulcanized rubber.
Vulcanized rubber.
That's what it's called.
So it's not just because of your Sally's, you're not calling it vulcanized rubber.
No, it's actually a thing.
This is vulcanized rubber with Vulcan rocks. And
that's what they make tyres out of.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I've got some spare tyres. You want to use them to make more...
Yeah, it don't quite work like that.
Sorry, carry on with your story.
So, I decided I wanted to experiment to see what I could... If any of the sort of materials that I had at home could be used to make rocks. So, literally got some filler out of the pot and just sort of spread it into the mould. Then one of them, I watered it down so it could be poured into the mold, because what they recommend you use is like a plaster of Paris or their hydrocal or whatever. Mix it up and then pour it in, and it will set up in anywhere from 10 to 40 minutes.
And really?
You can pop it out.
That's really quick for filler.
Well, it's plaster of Paris.
Oh, sorry.
So obviously the reaction is it creates heat, so it dries itself out, basically.
Right.
Polyfiller
just didn't work.
Just doesn't work.
What? Why didn't it work? What happened?
I think it's because it takes forever to dry it, and I was literally trying to force it in.
Yeah.
But also the watered down version, because there is no heat generated in it, it just sat there and sat there and sat there, and the bonds just become weak as a result.
Okay. How long did you leave it for?
Oh, I left that one for about 5 days.
Really?
Yeah.
And it just was water?
Sorry.
And it was just water still?
It was just water still, yeah. It took forever to dry out.
Wow.
The ones that have come out, they have a rock-like shape, but they're not worth...
They're not going to stay together. They're just going to crumble.
Wouldn't have thought so, no.
Crumble like rocks.
Suppose you could lacquer them.
Shiny rocks.
Well, and then paint them afterwards. I mean, a lot of lacquer you can paint over. Not all lacquer, but you can. That might just hold it together.
Maybe.
It might not be worth trying to save them, but...
It's a good experiment thing to do.
Did you use pre-made filler and then watered that down?
Yeah.
What about if you used pounded filler
that
and made it from made water with that?
Again, I don't think because there's no reaction to it, it'll take forever to set.
Okay. Yeah,
because obviously the idea with filler is you do thin layers.
Yeah.
And
well, I have some filler, powder filler left over that will fill up to 20 mil.
So 2 centimetres.
Before drying.
Well, some of them are that shallow.
Do you want to borrow it? Well, borrow it, you can have it. I don't want it back. I'm just looking at offloading my house supplies. I'll bring a box down. Because if it works, it might just be the quantity. Like, if it's like... Like say six centimeters. It's never going to dry. But you can get filler that dries at deeper ratios.
Mm.
So it might work. Filler might be really good because
just use concrete. No.
Why are you not just using concrete? I've got some ready mix. Do you want that as well, please?
No,
please have that as well.
I'm not having ready mix.
What else could you use?
I don't know. But,
jelly beans.
Have you thought about pouring?
Chewed down.
Have you thought about pouring cake? Cake into your rocks.
You can make some really cool scenic cakes.
Yeah. I think you could go into business.
I'd have to get like whole new rock molds made because...
No, you wouldn't. You can just
use... They're not... It's not food safe.
Yeah, they're not clean.
Why not?
And the cake will stick to it.
No, you'll be fine.
Bit of butter.
Bit of butter on the inside. Bit of butter.
No texture.
I don't know how we came down to this.
Bit of marzipan, you'll be fine. It will come. I'm sure it'll be fine. We should try it.
Marzipan rocks.
Yeah. We should definitely try that.
Anyway, Sam, right. Your bonus hobby progress.
So I did a very similar thing to Matt. I had some spare time in my hands and decided to go through my massive cupboard of models that never seems to ever get smaller. So I started off by basically getting everything out of the cupboard. Literally everything came out, and then I separated it into different armies and stuff that like was in lists and stuff that wasn't in lists. I had an odds and sods pile that I didn't want anymore. So I'm keeping my Tyranids, my Blood Angels, my Grey Knights, my Imperial Guard, and then...
My Inquisition.
I need to think of something about the Inquisition.
Zone Mortalis.
That's what I'm thinking. So I'm thinking of a Zone Mortalis force for the Inquisition to go with my... Death Watch. To go with my Death Watch.
Oh, so you're keeping your Death Watch?
So I'm keeping my Terminator Death Watch, guys.
Right.
So far, everything's being kept.
No, so I'm keeping those. I'm keeping those. I found...
And he's still doing an Orc army.
Orcs
when
are in
when the code is
still out. Do you need
any more Grey Knights? No. Grey Knights are done. Grey Knights are a 2K force. They've amalgamated a knight in there now.
Ah, is that where your knight now goes?
Yeah. Someone's
cool.
Scrape off the base and put on snow. Yeah, snow.
Or just rebase the Grey Knights.
That's far too much work. It's fine. So the knight goes with them. I'm going to keep a Zone Mortalis for probably 500 points, like Matt's done.
Yeah, 750, and then you can cut to 5.
Yeah.
That's why I've got my 750 Chaos and Flesh Terrors ones.
Yeah.
Just so they could be played at 500 if I want to.
Yeah.
But 750 is quite a nice... 2-3 units and a HQ.
Yeah. So I'll do that, cut Inquisition down 750 when they get a codex. And Death Watch as well, they all go in, they're thinking together. And then I will convert the Valkyrie to the Valkyrie from Amsterdam.
Oh, so, that's so cool.
Those who aren't on the best podcasting community page going, the Adeptus Terra podcast community safe room,
well done.
Won't have known that in Amsterdam, in the store there that I went to, they have a fantastic Kill Team board that they're mm-hmm. currently building with... They've got a converted Valkyrie. They've got what was the game called? Necromunda. You know the Necromunda silo things
yep.
with the little domes on top. They've put I guess it must be like some
polycarbonate.
See through like perspex. Right. So they put some perspex round tanks in there, filled them with water and green water, and put a light in. It's got pumps and it's got like bubbles and stuff that come up. It is probably one of the best boards that I've seen. Yeah. It's
very similar to the one that we saw at Salute.
Yeah,
that we'll talk about later.
Very similar.
This Vendetta that I was talking about, this Valkyrie. I've got a spare Valkyrie for that. We're meant to go with my Inquisition, but I don't want them anymore. But they converted the back of it to hold a container and basically fly away with this container. So
it looked so good.
Yeah. It literally was, they literally just didn't put the back on, put the top on, didn't put the sides and the bottom side on, and then just mounted the container underneath it and used the crane segments from... the high rise Necromunda tile board things, and then attach the rope with the chain on there. But what I could do is just get chains for a normal hobby chain and the small stuff, and then just attach it there as well.
There's so many ways you can get it to connect. So I was thinking of little feet.
Yeah,
so almost like magnetic feet that would then detach and fly off.
Mm, that'd work.
It was so good a conversion. I'm tempted to buy a Valkyrie. Cut it apart and do this.
Matt will have to start an Imperial Guard army because he's got...
I've already got an Imperial Guard army. The only sad thing is that there's potentially a Vendetta in my Catachan army. And to hear that Sam's going to cut this up rather than sell it to me is upsetting.
But I'll allow it. Do you want it?
No, I'd rather see the converted cool container thing.
I'd rather you have it.
Yeah, well, we'll talk. We'll talk.
converted.
So it may be converted. And I thought it'd be a really cool like center point for a game or...
Mission.
It could be a crashed one, and it's got the door on the back open up and genie sealers inside it.
The ideas. You can have a relic in it and you've got to get to it, and then it only moves like 12 inches a turn, and you've got to try and shoot it down. And if it gets shot down, then the relic is achievable and you can grab it and run away with it.
Yes. Make it happen, Mr. Zulu. So I will be doing that.
I think you lost Neil with Mr. Zulu. Live long and prosper.
In a wibbly wobbly timey wimey way with the Force.
Yeah. So while I was going through all these armies, and now that's come to mind, I'm going to do that with it. I'm going to probably get rid of a lot of stuff. There's a lot of additional Blood Angel models that I don't need anymore. There's lots of add-on Imperial Guard stuff that I've got. All of my armies have a surplus of bits, so I'm just going to get rid of all of them. They're all going to go. They're all in a stack, nice and neat, to be sold.
Fair enough. Mm.
Then you can buy the containers pack that you need to then do that.
Indeed. It will probably go and fund other stuff, but it just needs to... I just need to sit down with eBay and sell it.
Yeah, exactly the same thing. I've got like 4 Orc trucks, the Stormraven, the Bilepred, other units that are in there, some non-40k stuff, like Salute models and things that may sell. Mm-hmm. Just odd bits that are around that I could get rid of and just haven't. I need to get on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one part of my bonus hobby progress. Like Matt said, it's not really hobby progress, but for me it is, because it means that, one, that cupboard is now sorted out. I kind of know what I need to get rid of now. It was a process that needed to take place, and it has, so it's great. I built and painted the base coats of colours on the 10 of the Scutari.
These are the ones from Northampton. I just realised doing the whole 20-man squad as a flag doesn't work because half of them were bought in the UK.
Yeah,
got 10.
Well, one's going to have the Union Jack on, and the other another one is going to have...
No, well, you don't do that with... Otherwise, every model and unit has the UK flag on that he normally buys. So the 10 are just normal, and then he's got 10 that he needs to make look different.
So they're all painted blue, like the cloaks from my Bellulus core model or my
yes that makes Magus. Sense yeah.
So they're all blue, so they all match him. They're basically done. They need to probably be based properly. They're kind of half-assed.
Wow, so you nearly got 10 fully painted.
Nearly 10 fully painted. Probably nice. We'll finish them off when editing.
A lot more than put the base coats of colours on.
Well, it's all the cloaks are all done, so they're all washed, weathered, and highlighted. The metal's been washed, or painted metal, washed, and one colour of dry brush. I need to probably do a Necron dry compound over the top to be a bit brighter. I painted the brown of the wood of the guns because, you know, we give wooden guns to people now, apparently.
Especially the Mechanicum guys.
Whatever. and I've done my eyes on them. So
what colour?
Red, obviously. Okay. Terminator.
Fair enough. I would have gone with like a bright green, like Necrons, just because I got a bit of a thing about Necrons.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're kind of... Yeah, they're kind of nearly there. I need to base them again, properly do the silver properly, again paint the ice properly. All the base colours are there, the foundations are there. They're nearly there, but yeah. So I need to build the other 10, but then they'll be done.
Cool.
So
moving on to games.
No, sorry. I've already talked about the painted gene sealers on the stick that I did, and painted all the silver on the Thanatar. Just the battle damage that needs to be done, and then the base.
Yeah, so you'd already talked about that.
Yeah, already talked about that. Don't talk about that again. So games.
Yeah, games. So, games of the month.
So Matt,
I haven't had any games this month.
So Neil,
sadly,
same here. No games.
Oh, just me then.
Yeah, and only today.
Only today.
Now
no.
I feel like I am forgetting a game because I just feel like I should have played a game this month and I haven't.
Well,
I
didn't you play a game when we recorded last time? You just didn't talk about it. What did you talk about?
Oh no, I think I did.
You played Chris.
Heresy game.
Yeah.
I cannot remember, so I won't talk about it twice. It was a month ago, so
yeah,
I can't remember that much of it other cool. than that it was fun.
So I played Tim and Tom. I played Tim and Tom. It was 2,000 points. Tim and Tom split between Death Guard and...
this is Tom 3.0.
Tom 3.0
in our group, new member,
new guy, and Tim, the one that you would have heard at the beginning of the podcast talking in the background,
shouting. He's talking.
so he played. So Tom played Death Guard, and Tim played Thousand Suns, and I played my Imperial Guard, my tank force.
Mm.
So we played the open war game with the cards. We managed to get the deployment zone was, I think it was 12 inches in the middle and 12 inches on either side.
Mm-hmm.
That deployment zone, I was in the middle.
Yes, that one.
It was the six objective markers, three each, and you had to basically destroy the other person's three objective markers. That was in the deployment zone. So that was very difficult.
And you destroy them by being within 3 inches of them and them not being within 3 inches of them, of course. And then they're automatically burned. I think the mission's called Burned and Pillage or something. So you're trying to find the weapons cache or whatever for your benefit because you've been fighting a drawn-out war and you're going around and being like, right, don't need this, blow that up. We don't want you having those explosives. Take them out
or rob
them, whatever.
Yeah. So we had the twist card was that you couldn't target. It was night fighting basically. So 12 inches and then on a D4, on a four up, you added inches onto that.
Okay. That makes sense why you were driving your tanks towards them.
Yeah. God, why would I go towards them otherwise?
Yeah. I was thinking like, why are you so close?
Yeah. No. So, it was an interesting game. Like first turn, I just drove at the enemy with my tanks, moving less than 6 inches so that I could fire twice.
And then forgot
to fire twice. so the entire time...
It was amazing, that was.
The entire time, every game I've played, I've always driven 5 inches forwards, five or six, whatever it is, in order to shoot twice, and I've never really remembered to do it. So, yes. So, did some... what really got me was the fact that my Wyverns were effectively pointless.
Okay, interesting.
With 12-inch range, they can shoot nothing.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, and the deployment wasn't great for you either. A tank army does not want to be right in the middle of the board.
No, nope. It would want to be.
Tank army being attacked from both sides. So I basically, two of their objectives was on one side and one was on the other. So I was like, well, I'm just going to drive towards the one with two, dominate that side, and then drive back and get the singular one. I had my Vendetta in reserve. So the aim originally was to drive to the other objective. That was on the single one, hover and take it. So I had to deal with a Helldrake, so I didn't actually do that to start with, but I did it on my third turn or whatever it was. What got me was Tom assaulted me with Poxwalkers and Typhus, which meant that a lot of my vehicles were unable to do anything on turn two because they were reversing back. But they could never reverse back far enough that 6 inches and a 6-inch charge again, they're always going to catch me. So it was a difficult game.
At least you get to Overwatch, though.
The Overwatch was what killed them, basically. The good bits about the game was it was actually really hard. And at end of turn two, I thought I was going to lose. I thought they were going to run round me and go get the objectives. Yeah. They lacked the ability to kill tanks well, but they could easily run around me and go get to the objective.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to be careful of not leaving your objectives too unguarded, otherwise game over.
Which is why the two that I had in the middle, two on one edge and one on the other, that's why they got overrun turn two, because I left a sentinel guarding them. Admittedly, there were like three tanks behind them, but at that point they're behind them. Tim with a Rhino came in on one side with a Demon Prince flying and went in and took them. So they gained two really quickly. It was a good game. The bit that annoyed me was the bit that was really difficult was the Death Guards feel no pain.
Yeah, disgustingly resilient.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, five up, always get it. Regardless.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love it.
It's insane. It's really insane. So when you're killing Poxwalkers and they don't get a save, but they get this disgustingly resilient always. It's like, what?
Yeah,
like,
it's really cool.
Does it double? Is there nothing like if it doubles them out or anything like that?
No, because it's not a feel no pain thing. That used to be a feel no pain rule.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's literally they get it and they even get it on mortal wounds. And it's just five up, ignore the wound.
Yeah.
The background of it isn't that they are, oh, we're too stupid, we're not feeling pain. It's that actually Nurgle's blessing them and they are literally like being blown into puddles and then the puddles are reforming.
Yeah.
Like Nurgle does.
Yeah.
A bit like the T-1000 from...
Yes, but smellier.
Yes.
More so, flies involved.
Yes.
I can imagine, like I was saying to you earlier, I can imagine that's how people felt when I ran my Death Company list. When it was my all Death Company, they got rerolls on Feel No Pains.
With Apothecaries.
With Apothecaries and just never died.
Sorry, Sangreal New Priests.
Yeah, whatever. So that was cool. That was a good game. Eventually, I killed Typhus by blowing up.
Really? What?
So I took a load of wounds off Typhus, and then he went and assaulted my Hellhound, but I took the one which is the Flamer one, because...
Inferno Cannon one.
I think it was the Inferno one. Anyway, whatever. It gives you 2+ to your roll to... Basically, it's going to make you explode on a 3-up.
Oh, okay.
No, 4-up, sorry. So got the 6, exploded, and then took a mortal wound off of him.
Nice.
Or D6 or D3 mortal wound.
D3, I think. And then he
died. So killed him, and then but that was the defining moment, because if it didn't happen and he didn't die, the Hellhound was parked on the objective, so it meant that he would have just moved forwards, like consolidated forwards, end of his turn, taken the objective. But the fact that I killed him meant that there was no one else near it. It meant that I could just drive two tanks around.
He had to come back to their last one, which you had quite a sizable force next to. Yeah, that's why I quite like that mission. I played it against Tim, funnily enough, as my Death Guard.
Yeah,
And he suffered the same thing you did with disgustingly resilient.
Just don't die.
Yeah, turn one. He took my Demon Prince down to one wound, and then I passed every disgustingly resilient, and it died turn four.
Insane.
3 turns later.
I think the unit of the game was probably Tom's Flyer, Blight Drone.
Yes, is it a Blight Drone? That's what it's called. It's got a different name.
It's the new one, the one that looks like an egg with three.
Yeah, I hate the look of it.
Yeah. But never dies. Yeah. Never. I think I took maybe 3 or 4 wounds off it. Just wouldn't die.
Yeah.
Disgusting resilient again. But it's toughness 7, pretty difficult.
Yeah, that's the thing with disgusting resilient. I guess they've really pushed their new Death Guard vehicles in that way, because Hellbrutes in the army don't get it.
No.
Mm. You know, just because you're Death Guard doesn't mean you get it. It's a rule for that unit. And they put it on their Death Guard only vehicles that other Chaos armies can't have.
Yep.
To make you buy them is why. Yeah, that's my cynical hat on. Because other vehicles can't get it. You can't pay an upgrade to get it on your Hellbrute.
No.
It's just this rule is on that because it's a Death Guard only thing. That's, it stops people going, oh, I'm going to start playing Death Guard now from my normal Chaos army. And just use the same models. No, because if you want the good models, you need to buy the Death Guard only stuff. I mean, it makes sense. I'm not bitter about it at all.
No, it got released with the codex. It got released with the box set. It makes complete sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm not riffing on it. That's probably why.
What would be good if it was like a blessing of?
Yeah.
Like the, didn't they used to do that? If you took it as a...
It used to be, or like you gave them an icon and you got this, or, I mean, I like it that it's just in the rules.
Yeah.
The only difference you could make is by putting it in the Death Guard keyword. Yeah. If you have the Death Guard keyword, you get disgustingly resilient. But then suddenly Land Raiders would have it. And
yeah,
like,
quite.
You know what I mean? So you've got to draw the line.
Insane.
You've got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. So, good game. Won it on turn 4. Quite difficult. What really turned it is Typhus dying. Typhus didn't die, they would have won.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, though, when a game comes down that much.
Yeah.
I think it just shows the open war cards and how good they are. Because if that was a normal pitch battle, just playing out of the rule book, you would have never been put in the middle. You wouldn't have played that kind of objective mission. And the tough decisions you had to make meant that you had a tough game, but probably a more enjoyable one as well.
Yeah.
Like having to play that, being forced to play your tank army close to them because there's night fighting involved, and but also holding something back for your objectives and things, makes for a more interesting game if you know that army well.
Yeah.
I imagine they're harder if you're learning an army, because playing the standard mission is just very easy in the background to remember. Whereas open war, you've got to remember the cards and remember the different twists and things that are in play. But for veteran gamers, like, they're almost the only way to play in my head now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Tim's statement was really interesting, that he was going to take the cards out that he had last time and put them at the back of the pile, so that you don't pick the same card every time. Because he said he's had the night fighting one and the orbital bombardment like 5 or 6 times now, however many times he's played it. So I think it was a good idea. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that was the game. Awesome. I believe the tanks are undefeated still.
They are indeed. 8th edition is the tank.
So
Holy Land, I don't know.
Winning at life?
They are indeed winning at life.
They might have to change soon. I might shake them up a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to have a strong list, and it's a very, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I was going to say fluffy, but I'm trying less and less to use that word now.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But
I'm thinking about getting rid of the veterans.
Okay.
Just go
full
tanks.
You don't need them.
Don't need them anymore.
You don't need them in terms of having to need the troops.
By get rid of, I mean, I just put them in the back, put the cupboard.
Yeah.
I don't want to sell them. I think I need
to
have...
They are Forge World Death Court.
Yeah. I do need to keep them.
My thing is this, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably something you don't want to hear. But take them out, add some more tanks. Awesome. That would be really cool to see. And an all-tank list does feel very right. But then, slowly, purchase Death Corps of Krieg models. And eventually, you could have quite a large inventory and tank force.
Yeah.
Oh, it would slow his gameplay down.
It would indeed.
Gameplay's slow anyway.
It's more just that, you know, having a mass load of inventory and some tanks behind it always is really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've always wanted a Death Corps of Krieg army.
It means I could get the Gorgon as well.
Oh, the transport thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all the men inside.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Means that would be really cool.
Fine.
And some Rough Riders either side of it.
Yeah. Charge! It's going to go so well. Oh, anyway. Man, this is going to happen.
See? Oh, this is why I was worried he'd be like, Yeah, let's do that. Oh, no. What have I started?
I know. What I'll do is I'll sell all my 30K and I'll do that instead.
No. Sell all the rest of your 40K and do that.
Just go full...
Full guard. Why not?
Full guard. I've become one of them players. if I did that, I would definitely get a... a Titan. If I sold everything...
To finish it off.
And just had guard, I'd have a Titan.
What one would you get?
Reaver, or would you go smallest with the Warhound?
No,
you wouldn't
Reaver.
Go Warlord.
Nah, Reaver. I wouldn't go Warlord. There'd be no point. No one would play it.
Yeah.
No one could play it. No one could forge that.
Same with Reaver, to be honest.
I like the idea of Reaver, though.
A Reaver would look really awesome.
I mean, a Warhound kind of just feels like just a big tank, whereas a Reaver feels like a Titan.
Yeah, I get kind of what you're saying.
Because the Reaver, the Warhound doesn't really have that amazing abilities, really.
Depends on what weapons you buy.
What, Vulcan, Megabolter, one arm? I've got one of them.
Sure,
on
you can.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is far, far away. this is when I...
This is old Sam's problem.
Yes.
This is 40-year-old Sam.
I've been paid. I could go and buy stuff. Yeah!
It's like every month.
Yeah, every just month. Another 10 inventory a month.
Do you know... No. What I need to do is I need Forge World to be cheaper on their posting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, if Forge World were normal posting prices, I think I'd probably...
Be dangerous, wouldn't it?
Buy more. No, but it definitely
They are built for you to order in bulk, yes. Actually. They're to you work out something, save up, and go, right, here's 200 quid, 250, whatever it is now, free shipping, and I've got half my army.
Could you not order it via Games Workshop?
No.
Do they not do that?
Nope.
I don't know if they do that anymore.
Nope. Not to the store.
Really?
Nope. Not that I'm aware of. I'm pretty sure when I've been in there before, they've said that they maybe you save on postage. I don't know. I'm quite near the Tottenham Court Road one. I could go and have a look.
You could always just drive up to Warhammer World.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Do you know what?
What, once a month?
It would probably be cheaper.
It would probably, yeah, with postage, it would probably actually, if I drove, like fuel up there isn't that much. Like if you think you can get there and back on a tank of fuel. That's 30 quid, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But if I took all of you and you all bought it and you all paid me, then...
Yeah, you could...
Free postage for me. I don't know. Because I do need to buy my next bundle of heresy.
So just chuck 10 death corps on the end of it.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Do it.
I'm just looking at it now.
Do it.
What I need.
Right, sorry. Execute order Forge World.
No, stop it.
Execute Forge World order?
Yeah, but Order 66, yeah, you know.
No. Right.
No, okay, he's not going to do it. Damn it.
I'm not going to do it now.
Okay.
Now.
Right, so.
Now.
I think that got a bit out of hand. Not such a good month. Hobby-wise?
Is what it is.
It is what it is.
I don't know. I think
you did. You did well.
What I'd like to do...
That's normally the
You did well!
The narrative of this podcast is that Sam holds us up in terms of hobby progress. I make the notes so that we can actually do this. And Neil keeps us legitimate. That's pretty much it.
Do you know what I was thinking?
Every month, that is the same story.
What I was thinking to do is I was going to read out... I was going to save the when he joined... Probably the safest community safe room on Facebook's servers. When you join, you have to answer some questions.
You do indeed.
Like, who is the most legitimate?
Which Sam did on his own. I'm just putting this one out there. Me and Neil didn't even know there were questions.
So it's three questions. It's name something on the legitimacy scale.
Yep.
Who is the
most legitimate?
And who makes this all happen?
And we all know the answer to these three questions.
So there's some interesting answers. What I was thinking, I might keep the interesting answers and then just read them out on the podcast.
That'd be really cool. We'll include them in a warp storm.
Yeah.
Because that's the community segment.
Yeah.
Which will be coming next month. Next episode, we'll have a warp storm. We've got a cool few things built up.
You heard it here first.
Indeed.
Awesome. Right. We're going to take a quick... Right.
We're going to take a quick wee, was that?
yes, we are. We are going to take a communal wee in the bucket in the corner.
No.
Right. We are going to take a quick break and come back with our next segment, the 40K Spotlight.
The Adeptus Terra podcast is now a proud member of the NPC, the Narrative Podcast Consortium. Our aim is to inspire your hobby through the rich lore of the 41st millennium. If you enjoy our podcast, then make sure you check out these other awesome shows where you can get coverage on campaigns, Black Library, and all kinds of general topics of the 40k background.
The NGC 40k podcast also provides in-depth campaign coverage, audio dramas, and free-flowing narrative campaign creation.
The Masters of the Forge brings the world of the 40k to life on your tabletop, with discussion on the lore, backed up by narrative-themed rules and battle reports.
Of course, this is only a fraction of the topics covered by the podcast of the NPC. Please tune in to find out more.
Hello and welcome back. This is the 40k Spotlight, and this episode we are talking about Titans of the Grimdark, Xenos Edition. So when you think of giant robots, giant aliens, you may be familiar with a semi-popular film, Pacific Rim.
We're not being sponsored by them.
No, not indeed. But with that in mind, this is our Adeptus Terra Xenos Rim job.
Yeah, sure.
I had to get it in somewhere. It's the title of the damn episode.
Yeah, let's call it that.
So let's move
this
on.
This is our job on the Xenos. This is Pacific Rim, Xenos Rim. Our job.
Thing. Anyway, this episode, we are going to be covering the Eldar, Orc, Tyranid, and Tau Titans of sorts.
What a job.
Indeed, what a task at hand. Anyway, so I think with that weird intro, to just shoehorn in the, shall we say, odd title of this episode, we're going to go straight into the Eldar Titans. There's not really anything else for me to say in the intro.
Yes, so that's me to start with. So I'm doing the Warlock Battle Titan. It was possibly one of my favourite named Titans. The Warlock Battle Titan. So as the name kind of gives away, the Warlock Battle Titan is a rare variant of the Phantom Titan. The Wraith Bone inside the core contains the spirits of seers and warlocks. So obviously it makes it very magical.
This is the Sci-Sci Titan of the psychic race.
Oh, right. Okay. What are we doing there? The souls of dead seers and warlocks can pull their psychic powers together, which is then amplified by the Titan's Wraithbone structure, and combined with the smooth agility and the sophisticated technology of the Eldar, it creates this pinnacle of psychic engineering. So imagine a robot. Oh, let's think of a good analogy. Let's think of a good movie where this happens.
Depends how long we're going to be here for.
Long time, I'm fine.
A psychic robot.
Well, it's like when someone's consciousness is downloaded into a robot.
We're going to go with Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell. That's a pretty good one.
In mini form.
In mini form. So imagine a robot that is powered by souls, which is so metal. It's powered by souls, they're all psychic, so they obviously have all their psychic ability still in the gemstones. Downloaded into this giant robot, which is so technologically advanced that it can do some awesome looking stuff and stunts. That's what we've got. So the psychic ability of the warlock titan is so immense. Its witch sight allows the titan to be able to bend time and space reality. Not only to foresee its immediate future and any potential dangers, but to also look ahead into the possible futures, allowing it to move in perfect synchronizations with the threads of fate. Well, I've still seen them die.
Indeed.
So they can't be that good at it.
Well, that's
job.
Why it's possibilities.
Possibilities, I guess.
There is always failure.
Exactly. It can also twist together the threads so that Doom more readily finds the enemy, resulting in cannon shots and even laser beams changing course to strike them instead. And it can give a mighty psychic roar which heartens the allies and puts fear into the hearts of the fearless. So, all those Space Marines getting scared by a Titan. the psychic energy crackling through the Warlock's Titan's body can deflect blows, instantly destroy greater demons in close combat, and give power to its more feared weapon, the Psychic Lance.
Of course.
Of course, of course. It makes sense to channel pure psychic energy towards the enemy in a lance form. My only concern with this is the line there which says instantly destroy greater demons.
Yeah.
Now, I bet in the greater demon section it says that it is so powerful it can instantly destroy titans. This is so 40k. Because it's so contradicting on itself. Yes. It goes, we are the mightiest faction. We are the mightiest faction. It's really bizarre. But anyway, this imagine all this psychic. Imagine a robot that is electrocuted so that when you touch it, it shields, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway.
That was possibly the worst kind of analogy, explanation, metaphor. I don't even know what you were going for there.
Basically, the psychic energy is so abundant in this robot.
Good word.
That it's all over its skin. And
it's got like an aura.
Exactly.
That just exudes.
So instead of a shield, it has this aura that exudes.
I wonder how it would fight against Tyranids, whose sole purpose is to dampen that field.
I guess they're null, aren't they? Psychic Tyranids?
No, they're not a null. They have their shadow in the warp, so their psychic might is so heavy that they oppress other psychers.
Mm.
Which has a massive effect on Elder, as we know in like the Doom of Eandon and various big battles that have happened. So it'd be interesting to see how they affect these Titans.
But yeah.
We have no way of knowing unless there's somebody a book somewhere that we don't know about or something.
Besides this lance, this psychically channeled lance, the Warlock Titan is also armed with two missile launchers on either side. And either a pulsar or a Titan-class power fist, because you need a power fist when you're fighting from far away. It's also protected by reinforced armouring and a hollow field emitted from projectors mounted onto its wings. So it can fly.
Well, wings, it has like the kind of wraith bone.
You can, if you go to Forge World, if everyone goes to Forge World,
they are all on there.
You can go and look at this one. It's the one with the weird rocket pods next to its head.
Yes.
Which basically just stop it being able to turn its head anywhere. I'm not mocking the...
It's psychic, it doesn't need to, it's fine.
But that's it, isn't it? I don't want to mock the way the Eldar look, but...
But they're pointy princesses.
Yeah, it's slightly weird. Where's the big one?
For some reason, I got the picture of Madonna's cone bra. Don't know why.
What are you thinking about, Matt?
40k.
Madonna's cone bra.
Wrong faction. Surely that should be the Dark Eldar.
Very true.
Or the
Dracurai. Yes.
So this is
put an eye out with them. I get it.
The body itself cost £410 in the UK. With your £410, you don't get the guns. You get the fists, though, but you can't attach them anywhere. I guess you get really small arms, like a T-Rex. But it's got, like, weird, like, phantom feather things behind its head.
That's the wings.
If you got a normal Eldar and just made it really big, it looks like that.
Yeah, they've tried to kind of make it look like that.
Yeah.
So yes, absolutely. Sorry, that is the Warlock Battle Titan. Pretty amazing stuff, really, I think.
Yeah, the order of the Eldar Titans is a little bit messed up here, so I'm sorry about that. I'm covering the smallest one, which is last, which you don't normally work that way.
No.
And this Warlock Titan is a rarer variant of the Phantom Titan.
Which I am going to talk about. So yeah, the Phantom Titan is the next super heavy battle walker of the Eldar. And this is the one that the Warlock Battle Titan is based off of. It's very different from the Titans of other races in the fact that it's actually grown. So it's grown from the Wraith Bone, and it grows up as its pilots grow up.
Yes.
Which is kind of a bit... How do I get my head around that?
Yeah, well, I guess... Eldar Titans are living organisms in the sense that Wraithbone has the potential to hold living souls. So as souls are added and are grown through the Wraithbone and all of that stuff, the pilot is in tune with it, growing psychically more powerful as the Wraithbone does. So I imagine it's a more graceful way of connecting to your Titan rather than like the Imperials who just plug in psychers. Just here's a jack lead in your neck, click. Whereas this is like, no, you know each other from birth, basically.
Cool. Along with the crew, they also put spirit stones in. So like a lot of Eldar craft, be it the spacecraft, what have you, have spirit stones attached to them. So do the Titans. And this allows the spirits to flow freely throughout the Wraithbone construct, which give the war machine a soul, or many souls, depending on how you look at it. And it sort of helps add to its already impressive deadly abilities. I can't think of a word to put in there. Just like,
It'd be really interesting to see. I wonder if you can add so many spirit stones that you don't need a pilot.
Isn't that the Wraith Knights?
Wraith Lords.
So eventually, surely, you must be able to.
One small guys. Wraith Guards. They're all just Wraiths, yeah. But I just wonder whether you can actually do it to a Titan. Because even the fully psychically charged Warlock has a pilot.
Mm.
So I wonder if they need that will and that almost like living mind. Because isn't there a thing where the Wraith Guard and stuff, if they're away from Spirit Seers and Warlocks, they like become slower of mind and or do what they like, or they go a little bit.
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure. I haven't read an Eldar Codex for a couple of editions now. But I'm pretty sure if they're not within X amount of inches, they used to at least become slower, like drop weapon skill and stuff like that. They couldn't half their charge range or just shut down completely. There's lots of different things like that that would happen to them. Anyway, just a thought.
So, Elder Titans are similar in most ways to those Titans of the Imperium. But very different at the same time. They have the same sort of, yes, this is a bipedal humanoid shape, but whereas Imperial Titans are very bulky, very angular, Eldar Titans are more slimmer frame, more agile, more graceful.
Which matches a general human to a general Eldar as well.
And this also goes with their weaponry as well, where their weaponry lacks in raw punching power, it makes up for inaccuracy, so they only have to shoot it once rather than three times to actually get the hit.
Yeah.
And for defense, they have, as Sam mentioned briefly, hollow field emitters, which basically make the Titan harder to hit because it hides it slightly.
Instead, it kind of distorts an image. Yeah. Is it from the sensors and scanners? So like, if you're looking at it, it doesn't change its appearance. No, but if you're then looking down a sight, for some reason, it's a bit off.
And this then makes it harder to hit and also could possibly avoid being shot altogether.
Mm.
Weaponry for the Phantom Titan includes Phantom Titan pulsars, distortion cannons, a power glaive. These are the main arm weapons.
Yeah.
And then shoulder-mounted weaponry includes pulse lasers, Titan-sized star cannons, and Phantom missile launchers. The Phantom Titan is only usually required when the situation is most dire. And at this point, sort of standard Tau tactics of hit and run, hit and fade.
Eldar.
Standard Eldar tactics of hit and run, hit and fade attacks are obviously not working. Yeah. So they open up the web portals really big. So out strides the Phantom Titan to stride the field of battle like a mighty colossus.
See, I love these kind of quotes because I have no idea what that was.
I get most of them. I can't recall where that one's from.
It's from a game.
Ah.
Oh, right. Okay. Definitely wasn't going to get it then. Oh, you're so smart, Neil.
Just well cultured.
Smarter than us.
Geekdom.
Geekdom, than yes.
Anyway, so moving on to the Revenant Scout Titan. The one that should have been first.
Mm.
So the Revenant Titan is the smallest of the Eldar Titans, often used as a forward scouts, very similar to the way the Warhound is used in Imperial Titan ship. I don't know. it provides fire support for the conventional forces. So this is one that kind of will be supporting the larger Eldar army in this war. While all Eldar Titans, as we've said, are quick and agile, the Revenant goes far beyond this. With its compact size, it allows it to move with such a speed and grace that's plain impossible for Titans of other races. And I remember being absolutely shocked at how fast a Warhound can activate and run.
Yeah.
You know, this thing goes far above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Its maneuverability is enhanced even further by a number of jump jets and gravitic motors that turn its movement into floating sweeps across the battlefield. Just sounds graceful, doesn't it?
Yes,
you know what I mean? Yeah. It's funny. After doing the Imperial Titans and now doing, starting with the Eldar, at least, in this Xenos rim job. sorry, trying to get it in there again. I just can't move past without commenting because I feel wrong for just saying it. Anyway, just this blocky punch that the Imperial Titans give off and the grace and the speed that the Eldar Titans give off, just such difference.
Yeah.
Which is awesome that that's in there and in the lore, that you can almost be like, well, I prefer that style. So if I was going for a big Titan engine, I'd rather go for the speedy, graceful Eldar or the big, bulky Reaver Titan or some of the Orc ones that we're going to talk about. Or you prefer giant, big monsters and you got the Tyranid ones that we're going to cover in a bit. So, yeah, I love that even in the big stuff, there's real variety of style of fighting. But that's kind of a side point. Anyway, a Revenant can easily leap harsh terrain, unleash its firepower against enemy lines, and then use its blinding speed to retreat to safety once again. So just this really annoying Titan kind of hopping over a building, shooting something, and then hopping back over it and being like, you can't get me.
Ooh.
It's great. Like, just so frustrating.
Yeah.
Just thinking about that, and just I'd be so angry if someone did that to me, even in game, you know, without dropping yourself into a scenario as if this universe was real. Like, just in game with the models, if someone could actually do that, and I'm not sure what the rules are actually for a Revenant, but if it had that opportunity and that ability, I'd be so angry. It would wind me up so much. It's like, you tricksy Eldar, like, can't trust the Eldar.
Is it because they are tricksy and false?
Yes. Hobbitses.
Mm-hmm.
In disguise.
Mm-hmm.
In pointy hats.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in addition to their... This has gone into a weird place. In addition to their speed and agility, Revenant Titans are also well-armed. Their primary armament are a pair of pulsars, which for us laymen are immensely powerful laser weapons. And although some... instead are armed with sonic lances, which sound kind of cool. Sonic boom in lance form.
They're like the
We're
noise
getting
mar-
so
like
many
noise
references
marines.
In here.
There's so many, yeah.
Is that like the noise marines?
Well, they use sonic weaponry, so yeah, I guess it'd be like a diabit. Oh, I can't even talk today. It'd be a... I don't know, just like almost like a force of noise that would... bring static and confusion over sensors and would knock you back.
So like that noise, the brown note.
No. That just...
Well, there's a noise that is so low that it makes you poo yourself.
Oh, okay.
Like yeah, a...
No. No, this is more likely to kill you. No. Oh.
But you could die from over-pooing. Dehydration.
Oh, man.
Move on. Come on. Pick it up.
You derailed that.
No, I didn't.
The secondary, I don't know where you're going to cut this, but the secondary armament consists of shoulder-mounted, again, Revenant missile launchers loaded with plasma warheads for defense against infantry. In place of heavy armor, the Revenant is principally protected by an image-distorting holofield, like its larger kin, and does exactly what we talked about, confuses those Auspexes and scanners of all different types and races. A Revenant Titan is crewed by one single elder, known as a steersman, whose consciousness melds with the spirits contained within the Titan's Wraithbone core until they are one. This is like a life-sucking chair, like the Golden Throne. It just makes me think of this chair that this elder will sit in and never get out of again until they drag out the dry husk with no soul or energy in, and then they put a new one in. You know, that's how I read that, but it might just be that they're being poetic. Yeah. they bond on a level that makes them like one.
Is it? I didn't include the bit about the Eldar births.
Okay,
it kind of works with this.
Okay, cool.
What you didn't mention was the. Oh no, carry. I'm going to let you carry on, and then I'm going to interject with it.
Okay. So the. Revenant Titans are often manned by one of a pair of siblings, and with the other of the pair piloting a second Revenant Titan. This often means that they hunt in packs, and their actions coordinated by the psychic link formed by their pilots.
I was just going to interject with a thing about Eldar both. I was going to interject with a thing about Eldar births.
Okay.
And how they're extremely rare. And what's more rare is twins or triplets.
Oh, really?
And what they do is they tend to get, if it's twins, they pilot Revenants, one each.
Yeah.
Hence the psychic blood ties.
Yeah.
If it's triplets, they put them in Phantoms.
Okay.
So.
Because that's got a crew of three.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So it works. Bit like the film we mentioned, where you have people's minds linked.
Yeah, in Pacific Rim.
Yeah. And so this way, that's how they kind of...
Okay,
and then they don't tend to leave the Titans.
They just live in them?
They just live in them.
Wow. That's mad. And makes sense for the Eldar, but just still weird.
And then commune with the spirits.
Until they're just dead.
Possibly.
I suppose, do Eldar die of old age?
I don't know.
No, they're like 7,000.
They're like, yeah, but can they die of old age?
No Eldar ever die.
There can be only one.
Eldar. No one ever dies in Eldar.
They just become
part of the Wraithbone.
They are.
You know that
they
weird
definitely
scene?
Do die.
You know that weird scene where that person's like, she's absolutely fine, but magically she just starts ascending and like disappearing into like confetti in that movie. You know the one I mean. That time, where they basically just become part of everything. Okay. Pocahontas. That was it.
What?
No, the Pocahontas movie.
That doesn't happen in that.
Oh, it does. Anyway, moving on. Stompers, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, man. I don't know how you're going to edit the Eldar section of this episode at all.
Matthew. Well.
I will find out. But anyway, moving on. That's the Eldar Titans. Now we're moving on to something far more stompier.
Super Stompers.
Well, Stompers first.
And Stompers.
Stompers. Stompers first. So I had in here, sorry, Simon. So this is because the last time I held Simon Stomper, I kind of broke the head off. So, sorry, Simon.
Kind of broke the head off. Ripped it off.
Does this thing turn?
It did turn.
It did. It wasn't supposed to, though.
So, Stompers is a small type of Gargant, and I believe Gargant you're going to do later.
Yep, we get Gargants later on.
Yes. Usually mounted with various anti-infantry, anti-vehicle, or sometimes anti-Titan weaponry. So it's a single chassis and just various loadouts depends on what
that's
they need
a
to
theme
do.
That you see with lots of orc vehicles. I mean, even in their small vehicles, think of buggies. They can have rockets, flamers, shooters. They change them up. It's just due to what they need at that time, or just fancy putting on.
They also serve as transport. I believe you can load 30 orcs into the tummy of it, and then tummy explodes outwards, outpour all the orcs. Would it be
pretty
good?
Awesome. Are they supposed to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. You can either give them like a belly gun, or maybe that's a one bigger up.
No. I think belly gun.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. But you lose some transport capacity, or you can have like mass amount of orcs in it.
So usually they're deployed when a war boss can't find available resources to build a proper gargant, so it just builds like the smaller version. They're still very effective in use, but they're smaller and weaker than the gargant itself. When a stomper reaches a certain size, it then upgrades or evolves, some would say, to a super stomper, occasionally mech boy gargants.
Yes.
So sometimes war bosses will put aside their differences to join their stompers into stomper mobs. Highly effective en masse, in the case of Third War for Armageddon, thousands of these were brought to Armageddon, making them a common sight on the battlefield.
They were indeed.
Regular stompers, if there is such a thing, can feature many weapons and upgrades. I've listed them out here, and I found the ones that were interesting and kind of got a bit more information about
them.
So you've got, I'll read all the lists first. You've got the Titan close combat weapons are Death Cannon, Super Gatler, Super Rocket, Big Shooter, Crusher Ball, Death Arsenal, Belly Gun, Red Paint Job, Repair Crew, and Repair Crew. So I picked out Super Gatler, because that sounded fun. It is a fearsome orc weapon, usually mounted on a stomper's gun arm, serving as a coaxial weapon to the Death Cannon. The Super Gatler is unreliable and uncontrollable once it starts firing.
Of course it is.
It won't stop firing till it's run out of ammo, making it impossible to predict the amount of devastation. However, the Storm of Dakar ensures that someone will be hit, if anyone, even if they're greenskins themselves. And those that are hit are unlikely to survive. Mm. Next up, we have the Crusher Ball. Some stompers feature an unusual weapon known as Crusher Ball, a huge chunk of scrap metal on a chain, which is mounted on a stomper's arm in place of a regular close combat weapon. It swings, causing immense devastation, crushing everything in its path. Soldiers, vehicles, building terrain, orcs. However, it's not without risks. The backswing can be too much. It will smash back into the stomper, causing immense damage to the stomper itself.
Oh, that's so orky. So orky.
Yeah, I got this picture of them swinging it going past them, and so fast and far behind them that they just fall backwards. Just boom. Be like a turtle on its back, can't get up.
Be like a scene from Star Wars Return of the Jedi with Ewoks swinging.
It would make sense, yeah. Yeah, I wonder if you can equip them with this.
What?
Like in-game, if there's rules for the Crusher Ball.
Mm. Yeah.
I've seen them with giant chainsaw. They come with a big cannon and the kind of chainsaw double arm thing.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if you could equip them with a Crusher Ball. Because then you just buy a crane, bolt it to the side, and just have a massive wrecking ball.
Yeah.
Or like an orc truck with just loads of spikes on it as the wrecking ball.
And then finally, the Death Arsenal, which I picked because Arsenal Football Club reminded me of that. Death Arsenal is a stomper upgrade which literally covers it in guns, rockets and spikes. Amazingly, mech boys even wield some of them, on in the right direction. There are so many weapons that it is impossible to fire them all, meaning that damage is inconsistent. It's only available as this upgrade to the Death Skulls for the simple reason they're the only ones who loot enough weapons to fire it. And then after that, we've got the Big Mech Stomper. Sometimes a big mech gets so influential and powerful, they decide to build themselves a walking battle fortress. Bristling with large, unreliable weapons is the best thing to do.
Unlike regular Stomper, the Big Mech Stomper have large tractor beams. A unit called Lifter Droppers, instead of either its close combat weapons or the Death Cannon, it is usually a weapon that makes way for a Lifter Dropper. The Big Mech will replace the coaxial Super Gatler with the more advanced Giga Shooter. Fun word there. The gaze of Gork or Mork gives this Stomper the incredibly powerful and still unreliable energy weapon. So the big Mech Stomper will have tractor beams instead of the close combat weapon or Death Cannon, and a Giga Shooter, which is an energy weapon. So lasers. Of course, no budding Big Mech wants his prize Stomper getting blown to pieces, so he will normally be fit with crackling energy fields to prevent too much damage.
Cool.
Next up, we've got the Goth Claw Stomper. These are your guys, aren't they, Matt?
Yeah, the Goths are my clan.
So your clan, the Goth Claw Stomper, are very similar to regular Stompers, apart from they have a pair of large piston-driven big claws instead of a Death Cannon and a regular Titan close combat weapon. They are also armed with a Flame Belcher, the extremely powerful flamethrower. These are also rare Stomper variants, unless a huge Goth War ensues, because they are built by Goth mechs who normally build infantry-centric engines of war. We've got the Goth Rock and Rollers. They are actually gargants that, like the Claw Stomper counterparts, forego range weaponry for Titan-sized close combat weapons. This time, however, the weapon of choice is a huge spiked roller, similar to the Death Roller. This massive roller is attached at the end of the Gargant's arms and is used in devastating charges against infantry, fortifications and vehicles. They usually end in the targets flattened or bloodily pasted against the roller. This type of Stomper is even more rare than the Claw Stomper because the mechs that the Goths employ aren't that good.
They're some of the best.
Yeah.
They're not the bad moons, I'll give you that.
I can still see this thing trundling across the battlefield like, right lads, we're going to mow the infantry down.
It's literally just a giant lawnmower.
But it'd be good to have one of them in front and then a couple flanks.
So fun to build.
Yeah.
But again, I guarantee there's no rules for that.
Nah, of course not. And then finally, we have the Super Stomper. Super Stompers occupy the middle ground between small Stompers and full-fledged Gargants, with an impressive array of weaponry that includes super guns, macro cannons, and mega choppers. Super Stompers are often used by big mechs who have spare parts and scrap following construction of Gargants for their war bosses. I mean, how much stuff do you just have laying around? Super Stompers are deadly vehicles able to take on much larger vehicles than themselves, including Imperial Titans. This has led to several Imperial commanders, such as General Kurov, to rate them as one of the deadliest weapons in the Orc arsenal.
Mm.
So some fun weapons there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Stompers is they are like kind of knights plus. They're like baby Titans.
Yeah.
But they are just so brutal that they have to be treated as so deadly. I think the theme with the Orcs is if they've got the enough stuff, they'll build the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we've done it right, and we get bigger and bigger and bigger as we go. And if they've got enough to build the biggest, which is probably a Mega Gargant or something like that, can't remember now without skipping forward. And then if they can't build that, they'll build the next one down, and they'll just keep going down until they've got enough.
Yeah.
And if they can only build a Stomper, they'll build a Stomper. They can build a Super Stomper, and they build a Super Stomper, and so on. It's funny. I love the Orcs. They're so awesome.
Awesome. Right. So next up is the Gargants. These are among the largest of Orc land vehicles. And they are representations of the Orc gods Gork and Mork.
Ah, those guys.
Yes. Yes.
Does that mean they're only allowed to have two of them?
At once.
Well, it depends on if they want to be more cunning and brutal, or more brutal and cunning.
Yeah. I think the thing is they don't start worshipping them as if they are Gork or Mork.
No.
But they are representations of the gods.
Mm.
So they are kind of held in high honour amongst the orcs.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Like, so they could have more than two because they are almost like giant idols built for the gods.
So it's almost like an effigy then?
Yeah, kind of. A walking effigy with a billion bullets inside.
Right.
And orcs.
And orcs.
And orcs.
And these compare in size to those titans of the Imperium and have the firepower to boot. They're orcs. They're like their guns. They're nowhere near as advanced as the Imperium or Eldar titans, but they are protected by custom force fields, good old custom force fields, and they stand roughly the size of a four-story building. Which is pretty tall.
That is pretty tall.
Pretty scary. Imagine that walk towards you.
Yeah. Like, you'd see it coming way off.
Double like it's the not, size of your house.
It's not giant, is it, really? Like it's like a small high rise.
Yeah, we're still small. Like they get bigger, but yeah. The orcs ones tend to be a lot shorter but a lot wider.
Yes.
They're kind of big maybe barrels.
Maybe that's a sophistication point. Because if you think it must be quite complex to be able to build something on two legs and high like a titan.
Yeah,
like,
with the balancing needs.
Yeah, because if you think about warhounds, they're leaning forwards. Their balance must be insane. Whereas this is, I imagine, like almost like a barrel with small
on wheels
legs.
Or tracks.
Yeah. It's so small that it just won't fall over if it gets tripped.
Yeah,
shouldn't do. They're usually armed to the teeth with weaponry, main weapons being either the Gutbuster Mega Cannon or the Snapper Close Assault Weapon.
Sound epic.
Which is, nasty. They're also armed with between two and three super guns and a close combat weapon like a Mega Chopper. Because the Gargants themselves don't have the sophisticated mind control impulses or the psychic link of the Eldar, the captain of the Gargant has to shout down sound tubes. So think like old steamboats where you opened up the lid off of this tube, shout down it to the crew downstairs and hope that they actually follow orders.
Yeah.
It's like speed up. What's going on? Why have they not sped up?
I now need to shout
again. I now need to shout even louder.
But more angrily.
And be more... the next on the list from that is the Steam Gargants, which...
steampunk fans.
Think Gargant, but on tractor wheels. Not tractor wheels, on caterpillar tracks.
Yes.
That's the image I've got for it. And these are more primitive steam-powered versions of the Orc Gargant. These are created by feral orcs, particularly the Boiler Boys. Because, steam, boilers, yeah.
Is that like a faction, orcs?
Yes. Yeah, they're a faction within the feral orcs because they're not quite as technologically advanced as... some of the other.
Yeah, I think Snake Bites, I think, is the biggest clan that are more primitive.
Yeah.
They tend to like ride into battle on like boars rather than bikes and things like that. And the feral orcs are kind of like below them.
Yeah.
They like just don't engage with other orcs at all. They don't really have a sense of society the same way that some of the bigger clans do. Like hierarchy.
Yeah, no.
It's basically survival of the fittest, fight each other. These are almost Stone Age orcs, feral orcs, but with some technological mastermind somehow.
And basically what they do is they create the Steam Gargants to outdo the pig doc orcs who use an Orcosaurus.
Yeah.
So this is a bigger version of the giant Squiggoth.
Yes.
Squiggoth. The idea is that obviously one side wants to beat the other side, and that's generally where their warring goes. The Steam Gargant is normally armed with standard number of orc weaponry and protected by heavy plate armor. So yeah, I reckon that'd be so cool just to see one roll out onto the table, literally roll
with,
out
with pipes that'll actually give off some steam. Yeah.
I actually saw a really cool jet engine mod for scale models. It was literally some kind of fog generator that pumped steam or whatever
backwards.
And then that was passing past a series of LEDs that lit up, and obviously they changed color and they go up to blue, and as it changes color the steam gets passed out faster, so it looks like it's actually a jet engine. Jet.
That's crazy.
You've just leveled up in nerddom, you know that, right?
Yes.
Right, okay, good.
And then finally on my list is Mechboy Gargants, which we've briefly mentioned as well. These are built by Mechboys who have realised that they have no weapon or machine for themselves. So they quickly go around and sort of gather all the scraps that they can to try and build themselves one. And as a result, they might not be as large as this band of Gargants, but they are still considered custom.
Of course they are. They're built by the mechs themselves. I love it. It's like, right, I built the war boss one, so he's happy. So now I want to build me one, so everyone understands that I'm important.
Yes.
It's just like this level of pride.
It's like, it's got to be done.
Yeah. Awesome. So I'm moving on to the two biggest forms of the Gargants for the Orcs. So that's the Great Gargant and the Mega Gargant. So the Great Gargants are more powerful versions of the Orc Gargant. As we've said, a Gargant is a more powerful stomper. A Great Gargant is a more powerful Gargant.
Yeah.
Nice and simple for the Orcs, and it makes sense. They're larger in size, they sport more weapons, and have better powered custom force fields because they need it to cover such bulk. They're somewhat rarer, again, the amount of stuff that they need to build them. Only Orc war bosses can raise enough to get these bipedal forms active. A mech boy is not building themselves a Great Gargant.
No.
Because they're just never going to have the advanced stuff.
They're never going to have the teeth.
Or the time. Great Gargants are heavily armoured, have a wide variety of weapons bolted to their bulk. They often have the double amount of super guns found on the smaller Gargants, sometimes by a form of crude twin linking, which seems to involve large amounts of rope, chains, nails, whatever they can get their hands on to do it. The Great Gargants often feature fearsome belly guns and high-powered energy weapons mounted in the head section. Such a weapon is often referred to as the Gaze of Mork.
Sorry, the what?
Gaze of Mork.
Right, the Gaze.
Yes, indeed.
Good.
G-A-Z-E, Gaze.
Looking upon you and Gaze.
Another notable weapon often found mounted on Great Gargants is the Lifter Dropper, which has already been mentioned in some of the smaller things. It's a fearsome application of tractor beam technology. So it will literally grab a vehicle like a tank, pick it up and just lob it at something else. That's a really cool kind of... I think you can get these in the Forge World variant. I think you can buy a Lifter Dropper on Forge World.
See, now I have this image of a very crude version of the gravity gun from Half-Life 2.
Right.
Which allows you to pick up things and then fire them off.
Pretty much is like that, yeah. Yeah, it's on a portal. You can do that in portal, can't you?
Isn't that on... It's on a truck, isn't it?
You can get one on a truck, yeah. You can have one on the back of a battle wagon, but you can't put any dudes in it anymore because it takes up all the space. As well as, I think, one of the super cannons. Yeah, this Orc stuff's awesome.
I do like the Forge World. Yeah, so you've got super cannon on a battle wagon.
Yeah, I love that one.
And then you have... I don't know if they do the Lifted Dropper anymore. It's like a giant claw, isn't it?
It's kind of like a giant...
It's not on here anymore.
Oh.
Oh, no.
That makes me sad.
They do a mech dread shunt arm, which could easily be transferred.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway. Moving on to the Mega Gargant, the biggest of all the Gargants. This dwarfs even the Great Gargants. It rivals the size of the Imperator Titan from the Imperium. So that's the biggest Titan that you can have in the Imperium. This rivals the size, which is quite crazy when you think about it. So far we've talked about Gargants being... Was it Gargants that was slightly smaller than Titans? Well, they were about the size of the average Imperial Elder Titan.
Yeah.
Weren't they? Like, kind of average Titan.
4 stories high.
Yes, 4 stories tall, kind of, so small Titan, really.
Yeah.
And 3 goes later, we get to the Mega Gargant, and it's as big as Emperor Titan, which is just kind of crazy. It's obviously bristling with enormous guns, missiles, and other types of outlandish weapons of mass destruction, because it's orcs, so why not? By orc standards, mega garments are extremely complicated machines that only the most brilliant mech boy can engineer. These mega death machines are only ever really deployed during the largest wars on Imperial record, Third War of Armageddon being one of them. not seen very often at all, but these are the biggest of the big for the orcs, and thus the most holy, the most celebrated, the most enjoyed by their orc war bosses. I think Gazgul has like a named Mega Gargant. I vaguely remember that somewhere. Anyway, moving on. Tyranids, giant big creatures now, moving on from big mechanical beasts.
I don't like the name of this one.
Dominatrix.
That's why I gave it to Sam. He has just been to Amsterdam.
Yes, he has.
I'm trying to find Gazgul's Mega Gargant.
I'm pretty sure he has a named one.
You know, he used to have a Gretchen walk around with him, but he sat on him and killed him.
He did indeed.
By accident.
Gargant first got designated as an orc war machine during the Commissar Yarrick's crusade to hunt down Gazgul Magrok. Rathraka.
Yes, that's his full name.
Yeah.
On the world of Galatha, shortly before the start of the Third War of Armageddon, it was there the Gargants and smaller variants designed Stompers fought against the Imperial Titans and the Imperial Guard regiments. The Gargants were to be found a potent match for the Imperator class Titans, fueled by Yarrick. Despite the power, one of the immense greenskin walkers, felled by Yarrick, Commander Baneblade, the Fortress of Arrogance. No, doesn't give you the name. Nope.
I think it's somewhere buried in the depth of 40k lore.
Yeah, somewhere. Cool. Dominatrix. So, Dominatrix is a Tyranid species which exerts a controlling psychic aura to bring lesser Tyranid creatures under its will, allowing the swarm under its command to operate with uncanny efficiency and tactical ability. However, a Dominatrix is extremely rare and only seen in the most... only seen in the most advanced Tyranid swarms. So what's the difference between this... and the Hive Mind?
The Hive Mind is completely like its own thing. It's not a creature in the same sense that here's the body. It's, I guess the way I would picture the Hive Mind, it's like God to people. Like,
yeah,
it's unseen, it's over everything, it is everywhere. It's all culminating from outside of the universe into this one.
Okay.
So people theorize that it could be a giant Tyranid organism that we have not seen yet and is not passed into this universe yet, or it's an aura of more that you would talk about God or gods, like something that is unseen but bending its will, like the Chaos Gods. You know, you have greater demons that are like the effigies of the gods, but they are not Nurgle or Khorne or Tzeentch.
They are Slaanesh.
Or Slaanesh. Poor Slaanesh. Gets no love these days, Slaanesh. But yeah,
you can't sell it anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's the difference, really. This is kind of almost like a beacon that empowers the Hive Mind so heavily that these Tyranid units will work even better. It's almost like a telephone pole. The signal is stronger near this.
Yeah, no.
That's how I picture it. Hotspot.
It makes sense.
Yeah, that's how I picture it working. I do love the fact that the reason they have called it this is because it is psychically whipping the Tyranid creatures into order. They are going to work faster and work better.
So I can't actually see them selling it on Fortwood.
No, it's not. It's an old Epic model.
Old Epic model, cool.
So you used to be able to have it in Epic. Yes.
So the Dominatrix is a... possesses a large array of bioweaponry and packs a colossal mass dwarfing that of an Imperial super heavy tank. It has an intelligence akin to that of the mighty Hive Tyrant, and the link to the Tyranid Hive Mind surpasses that of the Hive Tyrant as well.
There you go.
The Dominatrix is a gargantuan composite creature of nightmarish proportions, equipped with ripping claws and fangs and a stunning profusion of symbiotic weaponry. Dominatrices are the brood queens of the Tyranid hordes, their children spawning into all the different Tyranid classes. Inside her rides a Norn queen with all the gene sequences of the galaxy's most lethal creatures, ready to be spliced and twisted into new monstrosities.
Okay, so that kind of explains what it is and its role. It's almost like, you know, the brain bug, Starship Troopers? Brain bug inside a giant bug that's protecting it. That's your Norn queen.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the difference. The Hive Mind is so much more powerful than that. But this is a beacon, a representation even of that Hive Mind.
Because of the importance of the Dominatrix, which is also the most powerful link to the Hive Mind a Horde has, they are strategic targets of the highest priority. Destroying a Dominatrix can decide whether a planet falls to the Great Devourer or is saved. And that's all we really know about them. They're not, like you said, it's an old epic model. There's not really a lot of, it's this size, it has this many wings and stuff.
No, we get a bit more of that. To be honest, a lot of the Titans, it's very hard to find exact sizes.
Yeah.
Even for things like the Eldar ones, which are, you know, they have one set thing. Imperium, they have their records and you find them a bit easier. They're almost more fleshed out. But the others, yeah, you kind of always have to compare. It's similar to an Imperator Titan or a Warhound Titan.
Yeah.
Because you don't really actually have an exact size.
No. And looking on a friendly local search engine, the Dominatrix Tyranid creature search doesn't really bring up anything. It brings up like the old, you know, the old one that's kind of leaning forwards with its tongue out and a gun on its back and stuff like that. Not really much to show me what it looks
no,
like.
No, nothing to go off really.
No.
No, you have to dig for some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But that's what we do on this podcast. We dig.
We dig.
So next is the Hierophant and Viscerator.
And I'm not even sure how I'm going to say it yet. But anyway, the Hierophant Biotitan is an immense, hideous creature towering over any battlefield that the Tyranids deem fit. It's bristling with spines, tendrils, and symbiote weaponry. They are amongst the largest bio creatures ever encountered from the Tyranid Hive Fleets. A brood of Hierophants are likely to be at the forefront of a major Tyranid attack. They are armed with massive biocannons, multiple claws and chitin blades, and armoured with thick chitinous hide that exudes poisonous spores from the rends in the plates. The creature's vulnerable belly region is protected by spiny tendrils, which lash out at any enemy that gets too close. They kind of stab, they have like claws on the end, or they'll wrap round and actually like hang people. It's quite a kind of brutal description that it gives. Obviously this is a model that's widely available on Forge World.
Mm-hmm.
The four very big spindly legs. Yes. Lots of people put a clear bit of pipe in its underbelly actually and put it on a central base, otherwise the legs splay out over time.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Resin is only so strong. Anyway, like all Tyranid creatures, the Biotitan seems to be able to mutate rapidly, evolving new weapons and defences. There are other variants of this Biotitan that have been identified with having huge crushing claws or long scything blades and less of a shooting attack. And these are the ones called the Viciators. That's how I'm putting that across. Yeah, not much is known about them other than literally they just have more preferred close combat attacks in terms of claws and blades rather than the symbiote weapons that the Hierophant may choose to shoot. I thought I'd finish, before we move on to the Tau, with some cool stats for you all. So this one I actually was able to find some stats for, first one of the episode, so I was quite excited. Its average height is about 15 metres tall. Its average weight is about 53.5 tons, which is
just really a heavy. Lightweight.
Yeah, that's why I need that central stand to hold it up. They've built the model to fit the background.
They've built it to scale.
Even its legs struggle. It was first encountered in Miral Prime, which is during the Second Titanic War. And this is where the Scythes of the Emperor take massive losses. Mm-hmm. They're not completely wiped out here, but this was the beginning of the end for that chapter. Only a few survived and got off-world. So it was like this new, brutal assault weapon that the Tyranids used in that fight. And its threat evaluation by the Imperium is extreme, which is kind of understandable. Yeah.
Which category are we going to pick? We've got nominal, we've got dangerous, we've got deadly, we've got extreme. What could we... we'll go with extreme.
I can imagine some adepts just in an office that have never seen Tyranids up close, and they've just got these little kind of weird little shots that have been saved from battles and things, or orbit shots. And it's like, that thing's got longer teeth than this one. This can be deadly. Like, I don't really know what I'm doing. Anyway, that is the Tyranids. They have a couple of big, big, scary, nasty creatures. I have to admit, although the model in my head looks silly, I really want a Hierophant. Even though I have no Tyranid army anymore, I have this weird thing with Tyranids, as I've shared before. In my head, they are the best looking, the best feel, the best fleshed out army of the 41st millennium. But do I want to paint them? No.
So, for those who may want an army that they don't necessarily want to paint, we know a guy. We know a guy called Frostfiend Studios.
For all your painting needs.
So, Matt, you could always buy your Hierophant and then maybe have it commissioned by Frostfiend Studios.
It would be amazing, but I'd rather have a roof to sleep under.
You can live with me.
Still.
And your Hierophant could be a doorstop.
It wouldn't last very long.
I'll take bits of it as payment.
As payment, yeah. Slowly. Can I buy a leg, please?
Anyway.
On to the Tau, for the greater good of this podcast.
The greater good.
We don't. I haven't said anything in a while.
No, we decided for you to just go away.
Okay, I'll sit here quietly while Neil talks about the Storm Surge KV-128.
Yes.
Oh, I have put this in. Technically, these Tau's counted as knights, but they have such heavy weaponry that they kind of should count as Titans.
Yeah, so the Tau aren't advanced enough to build Titans.
Oh, no.
They're not classified as Titans. They're classified as knights. But you put one of these up against an Imperial Knight or even a Wraith Knight, and yeah, they're toast because these things are serious.
Right, okay.
They are indeed. So, my area of expertise.
The fish.
The Tau, not the fish.
Are you going to have your flat painted in your colours for your Tau?
No.
You should do it.
I am not painting.
What colour? There's like three.
I was going to go for the Tron theme. I like the Tron themed. I think
black,
you could have
black with the luminous LEDs.
Yes, you could have your...
That's what we could do your hobby room like.
Like a black PVC floor with orange LEDs along the
skirting. And they can pulse.
Yes.
Because that won't be distracting at all when you're trying to paint.
Well, it won't make any difference to your hobby output. It'll be fine.
What I could do is...
That's a low blow, Matthew.
I'm sorry.
What they could do is pulsate, as in, like, into the room. So, like, you know, like a landing, like, pulsation.
Oh, to try and draw him in.
Pull you in.
Oh, so they sweep. So it's like, they start at the door and sweep up to the window.
Not the window, you'll jump out. You'll see all the grey plastic and just be like, no, I'm just jumping.
Right, so... We're starting off things with the KV-128 Storm Surge, as Sam first mentioned. This is a new breed of super heavy weapon war asset for the Tau, and it comes under the generalized heading of ballistic suits.
Amazing. It's just another suit.
It's just another suit. Basically, this is a mobile gun platform.
As all Tau suits are.
Generally all Tau suits are, but this is... more of a gun platform. And it was developed by the Earth-cased scientist known as Oishiron. I'm so glad I didn't put his full name in there because it's a pain to pronounce.
Take about 10 more minutes.
It would. It's that long as well. And this is as an this was created as an answer for super heavy war machines of the armies, the enemies that the Tau have come up against. Basically, because he discovered that even the heaviest of Tau battle suits and the railgun armed Tiger Shark aircraft couldn't take down Titans without heavy losses. So yeah, that's the general sort of gist of why they were created. I'm just editing
the Tau always need a reason, don't they?
Yes.
Like, we're not going to just build something for like orcs who'll just be like, chuck another gun on. Like, not because they decide they need it. The Tau are very efficient in that
way. Yes, it's always they're almost like Tyranids in the way that they evolve.
That's a fair point, actually. Yeah,
You can see basically every suit, battle suit, stealth suit, whatever, has a number or has two numbers, and that denotes what mark it is, so to speak, and then what variant the second number.
Interesting.
So yeah, basically, there's obviously been quite a few KV models.
Yes.
And this is the most recent one that works well. So where was I?
The solution was simple.
Oh, yeah. Basically, the idea is that they use the Storm Surge as a deployment of overwhelming force at strategic points within the battlefield and use it to anchor the battle line. So you sort of put it down and, right, this is the rally point, what have you.
This is the central point of our gun line.
This, we spread out from here and then move up, fall back, move up, fall back, as Tau like to do. It is powered by two generators, one for overall systems usage, so movement, secondary weapon systems, sensors, what have you, and then one for the main weapon, because it's that powerful, it requires its own
generator.
It's piloted by two veteran Hammerhead crew who go to Ballistic Suit Academy.
Of course they do.
Such a weird... you know what it reminds me of, the Tau? It definitely reminds me of, like, you know the new Star Trek movies?
Yeah.
It reminds me of that.
Oh, okay.
Like, all right, the fish people part, but the fact there's like Starship Academy, it's just like, we're gonna go to the Ballistic Suit Academy. It just their entire existence just reminds me of that. Everyone gets brought into the fold.
Everything's ordered.
We have slaves, but we don't really talk about it. Well, that kind of stuff.
That is Tau, honestly. Yeah.
They're not slaves.
Oh, crew.
No, they're part of the Empire.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
They're not considered.
The Ethereals are just nice guys.
No, it's cool. It's fine.
Yeah, they are. They told me so themselves.
No.
Yep, sure.
Right, yes. Yeah, so they go to the Ballistic Suit Academy on Borkan. And one pilots a suit and the other monitors weapon systems, fires the weapons, what have you. Storm Surge is mag lifted into battle by specially modified Manta missile destroyers. And basically, once it's dropped, it stomps into position and then goes.
Deployed.
It is deployed.
Yeah, it drops into position and doesn't move again. Because it doesn't need
just
to.
Just fires. its main armament is either the Pulse Blast Cannon or Pulse Driver Cannon. And both of these weapons can only be mounted on a ballistic suit of the Storm Surge size or upwards. Be interesting to see what they would bring into an epic scale if they do happen to bring Titanicus out. The driver cannon is long range weapon. It's got longer range fire than a las cannon. and it's effectively a humongous pulse rifle. And the blast cannon is a mid to short range weapon that becomes more destructive the closer it gets to its target. So obviously as it fires, power dissipates from the blast the further it goes.
Yeah.
Other weapon systems include a cluster rocket system, which is, it just fires off a mass of missiles at targets. You've got smart missile systems, which can blind fire and hit things it can't see. Burst cannons, flamers, or air burst fragmentation projectors. So think like a short-range mortar. And then it's also got four destroyer missiles, which are advanced versions of the Tau's Seeker missiles. Storm Surges can also have three battlesuit systems to choose from: advanced targeting system, counterfire defense system, early warning override, positional relay, a shield generator because it doesn't have one to come standard.
Oh, yeah.
A target lock or velocity trackers.
And you're probably going to want shield generator and any one of the above.
Any two of the above, yeah. Next up is the KX-139 Taunar Supremacy Armor. This is the other Titan killer, basically.
This is the Titan.
This is the Tau Titan, basically.
Really?
It is the largest of any battlesuit class. It's designed to take out the threat that has not yet been encountered.
What? So it's just this is a just in case Titan.
Yeah, this is the just in case Titan. Yeah,
this is if we need a bigger gun, we've already built one.
So yeah. This is the nuke kind of.
This is, yeah, almost. It's built with the idea of being a static defense weapons platform that fires long range weapon support. Very precise.
Okay.
Its main choices are a pulse ordnance multi-driver, which is a triple-barreled, so it's that gun on that goes on the back with the three barrels, and it propels heavy munitions long distances that are either concentrated in an area or more spread out, sort of like a huge barrage to hit more infantry in general. The second one is the heavy railgun and cluster shells. So the railgun is a more powerful version of the tank-based one, can punch through armour like nothing, and then it has a cluster pod of shells that can fire at close-range targets for defence.
So this is the Supremacy armour?
Yeah, the four-jawed one.
The one with three guns on the back, three guns on the left, and three guns on the right, and missiles in the front.
Yes.
Oh, handily, you can buy it in a Supremacy cadre. For £690, three of them.
That's actually not that bad for three.
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's good.
Do it now.
No,
sell the flat.
I have one. Sell the flat.
And then the final main system is the Nexus Meteor missile system, and it can fire from the maximum range of a bolt gun to ranges further than a las cannon. And again, the closer the target, the more damage it will do. Its arm-mounted weapons consist of a tri-axis iron cannon, three iron cannons mounted together that can fire in two modes, basically to deal with light or heavy vehicles. And then it's also could be armed with the Fusion Eradicator. This is a weapon that's so expensive in material cost and skill to create. And the idea is that it can fire a blast so powerful nothing can survive.
The nuke.
This weapon is still in its experimental stages, and usually only lasts one battle before it has to be discarded.
It won't be able to fire again.
Burns out. It has shield generator for protection, and defensive weaponry consists of smart missile systems and burst cannons.
Silly.
Nice. Yeah, so the Storm Surge is the biggest plastic kit that Games Workshop have. You've got one, haven't
yes.
you? Anchors into the ground and stuff.
Yeah.
And it, to be fair to my first original comment, that probably you could class as a knight. It's very powerful, but it's a bit too baby for Titans.
Yeah.
I would say. It probably could take out a Warhound.
They dubbed it the Titan Killer.
Yeah.
And yeah, it could if it was close enough.
Yeah, but in terms of in-game, I mean, the background is always more powerful than the actual payoff.
Yeah, of course.
Just like a Marine.
Marines could apparently kill every guard ever existed in a to, apparently.
And still be alive at the end.
Yeah.
But anyway, this dude is serious business. He's an awesome kit as well. I would
love to have one.
So even more serious business... If you had to pick one of these to pilot or be, which one would you be?
So pilot and
and be.
And own.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I literally went with which one would you pilot.
And let's go for own, the ones that we can actually buy. What would you actually buy? Now the ones we've covered today. You've got Eldar. The orcs, to be fair, you can't get Gargan. They just do stompers.
Yeah,
no, that's true. They do Gargans, don't they? They do the animal one.
They're not Gargans.
That's a giant Squiggoth.
No, I thought it calls it Gargant.
No. It's a gargantuan creature.
Oh, yes. Okay. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what
I'm remembering. The Hierophant.
Yes.
Orcs. Gargantuan Squiggoth. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So I don't particularly like the orcs.
No,
I think they're too crazy, unpredictable, which makes it fun, I guess. So for me, it would either have to be, I would like to buy the Warlock Battle Titan.
Okay, or the Phantom, older.
One of them two.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would like to pilot that one as well.
Yeah, I thought you'd be the same.
I mean, I don't need anyone else. One. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I don't need anyone to help me. I'd be fine.
Well, they're both... Is that one single, the Warlock?
No.
That's still a trio, isn't it?
Trio, yeah. So you'd need to have...
We can all pilot.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine?
So hang on, the Phantom, God, the Phantom one. I think I'd drive the Phantom.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. The head of the Phantom is a single person. Inside the cockpit, yeah. Single person. In the model, anyway.
Yeah, no, they're supposed to be pilot controlled by three.
So, yeah, that one.
Cool.
For me.
So, own and pilot, same one.
Yep.
I would like to own, just having talked about it, and it's kind of a cool, crazy thing in my head, a stomper with the giant death roller.
Okay.
And just convert that and just it be flipping awesome. If there were no rules for it, it'd be a bit pointless, but I'd love to own that. I think it could look so amazing. Just a giant death roller with giant spikes and marines impaled on them and just blood splatters everywhere, and it'd just be so cool.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, make it so the arms go up and down as well, so you can just smash stuff with it. Anyway, in terms of pilot, orcs are too crazy. Probably the Supremacy.
Yeah.
Probably the Tau. Giant guns far away. Just stand there and blow crap up. That would probably be my preferred method of titaning.
Well, fair enough. I would like to own the Supremacy armor. Seeing as I already own a Storm Surge.
Yeah.
But I think I'd quite happily pilot one of the Revenants.
Okay, yeah. So a Scout Eldar Titan.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I'm just sort of getting there quick.
Yeah, I'm definitely not that kind of person.
Disappear off again. And yeah. Awesome. Right. We've learned quite a bit about Xenos.
Lots of different races. No, not rim jobs. We've done a rim job.
We've done a rim job for the Xenos. I really enjoyed this. And the Orc Stomper with the death roller attached to it. It's just a genius idea.
It's definitely been a highlight of this episode for me.
We are going to take another quick break and come back with our next segment, Terra Talks.
It's a sobering statistic that more returning armed forces personnel have committed suicide than were killed during the Afghanistan conflict. Currently, the UK Armed Forces is reporting a 78% rise in mental health problems. Models for Heroes is a non-profit charitable organisation that supports the treatment of mental health across the UK by promoting model building, painting and gaming hobbies. Making and creating small models requires intense focus that can complement the treatment of PTSD, anxiety and depression, not to mention the mental health benefits of the social aspect of the group. Many of us in the hobby have paint, kits and far too many miniatures piled up that we bought on a whim. So why not consider donating yours? Models for Heroes have sent over 500 donated kits to support centres right across the UK and overseas. And your support will ensure that we can provide kits and materials to many more vital treatment sessions. Visit modelsforheroes.co.uk for more details and follow us on social media.
Welcome back. This is Terror Talks. Feels like a long time since we've done one of these. It's only obviously been two episodes, but yeah, just, I don't know, seems like a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the topic for this episode is our Salute 2018 recap / review / general chat. Me and Neil were the only two that got to go this year because Sam was
camping.
Yes.
Lovely sunny day.
It was a very good day / weekend for you to be outdoors. Mm. But you did miss a good day.
I did miss a good day.
We're just going to go over a quick overview of the day, me and Neil, just general chatting about from start to finish. And then Sam's got some questions he's going to ask us. It involves Sam and should keep us to a decent time length.
Yeah.
So fair to say it was a good year. It was fun to go. I was quite enjoyed going. We went by car this year.
We did indeed.
Driven by our friend of the podcast, Mark, Mr. Frostfiend Studios himself.
For all your painting needs.
Thank you. And that meant that we could get up later and got door-to-door service. So thank you very much, Mark. Drove up there, got lost about 50 times. No.
Did he beach his car?
No. We did talk about that. I had to explain it to me because it's like...
Of course.
What are you going on about?
You weren't there.
And then he explained how... Yes.
So for those who weren't informed, Tim, who you heard earlier, drove us to...
Maybe accidentally heard earlier because he was here in the background when we began this podcast.
Drove us to Warhammer World for... we didn't have a reason this time. Drove us to Warhammer World and successfully managed to beach his car on a curbstone and a drop curb. 5 minutes in.
Yeah, he hadn't picked me up yet. You
can't just say on a curb. You have to explain what the curb was.
So it's one of these curbs where it's like the road is higher than the pavement, so it drops down. So he thought he could just drive along.
No.
The road is higher than the pavement.
Yeah, it goes down.
I thought you said it was on the...
You mean the pavement?
No. So the road, on the bit of road it is, it goes down the road, and then the road goes down some grass, and then there's a curbstone, and it goes down. The pavement's lower than the curb. So he drove on it, not realising it was like that, and then just tipped to one side and beached himself. Tim beached himself. So Mark didn't, which is good.
No, Mark didn't. We were kind of following by just him looking up on the map and going, I pretty much can do that. Then we used the phone. When we got close, that's when the issues came, when we were like 5 minutes from where we were. Because he put his phone on and the phone, I don't know, either wasn't updated on the maps or just wasn't running as quickly. So we went through a set of lights that we realised we needed to turn left at.
Basically, the sign that pointed to the Excel Centre was at the traffic lights.
Right.
Or it felt like it was just after where you needed to turn.
Right.
So it's just like, we need to go that way.
Yeah, so we ended up going down the road, doing a UE, turning back, coming back. Then Neil had the phone, and because of the way the map looked on the phone, you couldn't notice that you were supposed to come off at this junction and round a roundabout.
Like we were going straight across.
Okay. So we went straight across, then we had to do another UE, come back to the lights that we should have turned left at, and then turn left.
So the only person successfully trained in navigation wasn't there for the weekend, so you got significantly lost driving.
Well, I was in the back of the car. If I was in charge, I would have been fine.
The moral of the story is don't let Neil navigate.
The moral of the story is set your phone up before you leave your home to navigate yourself there.
95% was absolutely fine.
It was that last little bit.
Yeah, parked in the XL.
So really then, if Mark from Frostwind Studios ever offers to drop your models off instead of posting them, just don't say yes.
Just pay the postage.
Pay the postage.
But yeah, so pulled up in the XL, went up, found the hall and queued up. None of us won a special prize.
No.
Sad.
What were they this year?
I don't actually know. I just looked, I didn't win and went, well.
They're normally money and
yeah,
KR
I think
cases,
very same thing, I think.
No golden tickets.
No golden tickets this year.
What did we get in the bag? We got, obviously, the standard magazine.
Yes.
We got a... Because this year was World War One
anniversary.
Yep.
The dice was a poppy on the six, and the model this year was three World War One soldiers.
Yeah, kind of sitting in the trenches. Yeah. I think eating or passing a cup round or something. It was like they were relaxing. Kind of on the sandbags.
That's interesting. That's different, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's quite a cool little model.
Did you trade yours in?
No, they didn't offer anything. I didn't see anything offering it, so I've got it at home.
But yeah, layout wise, standard Forge World on your right as you come in, so you have to queue back outside.
Yeah, the queue, the lines of stalls, and you just kind of zigzag through
them. That's a really clever way of them doing it, because people are obviously going to queue for Forge World, so queuing out the door means they're not queuing down.
They even had
10 SATA barriers.
There you go.
What?
The barriers with the coloured, not rope, but
the ribbon.
You clip it to the next one. They're getting better every year. They go and do this type of stuff.
Generally, we decided instead of doing the front of the hall, we went to the back and started over there, and then came back, worked our way back up to the
front. So it was much quieter at the far end, which was nice. And we did stop off at Bits Box first because I wanted to go there. We'll get to that when we get to purchases. But, we did about half the room, didn't we? Just general strolling, chatting, looking at stuff, purchasing a few things. And then we had a bit of a break, went out. Did we get any food at that point? No, we just went out for a break. It was like mid-morning, wasn't it?
Had a drink. Mark got a quick snack.
A quick snack and a coffee.
He's one of these grazers. He's constantly snacking.
Yeah.
To keep his energy levels up, because he's old.
We'll go with old.
And we met up with Ed and Stuart.
Yeah, we saw Stuart and Ed, our friends from our kind of gaming group,
which was cool. And then we went back in and wandered around with them.
Did the other half? Bumped into Dr. Andrew.
We bumped into Dr. Andrew.
He was on his own.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you adopted him then.
Yeah, so he'd done the whole room, I think, by that point. He was just kind of wandering around and saw us and just joined in with us for the last bit.
He was like, I recognise that voice.
Yeah.
See, he was talking about Matt, not
he
me.
Heard me. Yeah, he heard Matt, heard me. And not was me. Like, I recognise that. Walked around and, hi.
We bumped into
Jason.
Yeah,
we did.
Sons of Heresy, similar time. Had a bit of a chat with him in the hall.
Yep.
That's all the time we got to spend with him this year.
Because
we left early because Neil had an engagement in the evening to go to.
You got engaged?
No. It was an engagement party.
I went to an engagement party, yeah.
But it wasn't his own.
But it wasn't mine.
Get engaged. Hurry up. We can have a party.
Don't need that to be an excuse for a party.
It'd be a good excuse for a party.
You got a new flat.
Housewarming party.
That'll be coming soon once they're living there.
Once it's ready to go. We've got to have many parties.
Oh, woohoo.
you're gonna have a vegan party.
Let's not go there.
Nobody be there. Hey. Vegans don't have friends. No,
they have other vegans they need to compete against for the most veganest vegan.
Let's get off. bumped into him, chatted with him. Yep. That was really cool. Him and Skew.
Yes, Skew was there as well.
Skew from Overlord's fame.
Yeah.
Finished off the room, went to the Fox.
Went to the Fox, yeah.
Had a good double burger with bacon loveliness.
For 50, 60 pounds.
No, the price was all right. It's like
fairly reasonable.
14 quid, something like that.
I just remember the
nachos.
The nachos at like 30 quid.
You know what? It seemed much more manageable.
Much more chill.
Yeah, and if you showed your stamp, you got a discount.
Oh.
Because you'd been in the Fox.
Yeah.
So maybe something's gone on ownership-wise or something. I don't know. But, it was cool. So we spent some time in there with...
Easy.
Spent some time in there with Dr. Andrew and obviously Mark, me and Neil. And that's when Tom caught up with us and Erin.
Mm-hmm.
Stuart and Ed had gone off by that point. Yes. They were kind of heading out. So, yeah, we had lunch and we're chatting about what we bought and just general chit-chat, 40K stuff. I'm trying to think of some of the other silly things. Talks about how much you break models, Sam.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got onto it, but...
Yeah, Mark had come up with this list of... what are they?
Stratagems.
Stratagems, yeah. So he created a stratagem for each of us. Sam's one being, no, Sam, don't touch that.
Yes, honestly, I don't break models.
You don't. It's twice.
One of those things which is just so more happened. Three times.
Anyway,
a model breaker.
Yeah.
And there's one for Matt being in command.
Being in charge for some reason.
One for Mark himself. There's one for
everyone
in the group.
Yeah. So we were going through those and how funny they were, and that's how we got into Sam breaking models. Thank you. We spent a bit of time there, and then it got to kind of about 4:30.
Yeah.
I think it was. Exactly. And we decided Mark wanted to go back in. He was itching to buy something else.
Yeah.
So we went back in, and he went around a couple of places. I ended up buying something else.
And so did I.
And so did Neil, as you do. And then we headed back to the car and headed home.
Yeah.
For quite a reasonable time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got in and had dinner with Jenny, and Caleb was just going to bed. And yeah, it was a good time. It worked out quite nicely.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have stayed the evening and had drinks with more people and seen Jason again and spent more time with all the people that were in the Fox like normal. But I had to come home this year. So that was probably the one sad/, I don't want to say negative, but I would have liked to have stayed longer into the evening.
Well,
which I could have chose to do and just got on a train home. But at the same time, I kind of said to Jenny I'd come in home in the evenings. She was expecting me.
Yeah,
and it was nice at the same time. Like we were quite tired when I got in just from walking around all day and stuff. So, yeah, I can't complain about that. But that was the general day.
Yeah.
Cool. First question. How much money did you take with you?
My card.
Your card? Risky business?
Well, not, because the amount on my card was little over £100. So I knew that I had, like, that's my personal kind of spending card.
Yeah.
So I knew that I wasn't going to go above that.
So a little over £100.
So a little over £100. I wasn't planning on spending that much, but that was what was in the card. And I knew that would be okay.
Cool.
Yeah, I think I got out a similar amount. Yeah, I think I got a ton out.
Cool. Then, more importantly, what did you buy?
So I got first purchase.
Let's do, what did you buy the first time you went round? And then what did you buy when you went back in?
Okay, cool. So most of the stuff I bought on the first time round, I mean, we had that break in the middle, but I'd still call that everything finish the room. So the first purchase, I went straight to Bitsbox, which is kind of eBay in front of your face. Loads of old models in plastic bins that you can lift up and have a look in and rummage around. And I picked up 10 metal Catachan models. There was two sets of 10, and they were both the same price. I asked the lady, lovely lady who was running it, if I could switch some poses out and guns out. And she was like, yeah, as long as there's 10 on there and 10 on the other one, it's fine. So, because they were £2 each, so I was buying 10 for 20. So I basically created a veteran squad for my list. So three melter guns, sergeant with bolt pistol, chainsword, and then all the other guys, I just chose different choices of poses. Mm-hmm. So they didn't look very similar, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very happy with that, picked that up. It was very rammed. I wanted to go through some more of the bins.
Yeah.
I was after a Tet Priest engine seer for Imperial Guard. It's quite a hard model to find nowadays. But it was just so rammed. Pushing, everyone's trying to look in all the bins. It was, it's always hectic.
They could really do with a bigger.
Yeah, but then they got to pay double the price.
Yeah.
They would probably make more money, honestly. Because, like, Mark wanted to look through, but just couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, no.
It was just so horrible.
Hectic. And...
So it took me about half an hour to find the models and then get out. This is the first thing we went to. Mm-hmm. So I picked up those. They were my first purchase. Then I picked up from TT Combat. Mm-hmm. Was the next stop-off place. They have started doing... it was new to me, so I say started doing. They may have been doing them for a while. Resin kind of scatter terrain.
Okay.
So I picked up three boxes. They were like £6 each. And they had various...
Is it not Tablescapes?
No, that's Secret Weapon.
What were these ones?
They were called Table...
Scrapyard Accessories? Generator accessories, cargo accessories.
Hang on. So they're called Tabletop Scenics. I just nearly forgot it then. I've literally just looked. So Tabletop Scenics is kind of their sub-brand of resin. Mm-hmm. I picked up control panels, kind of engineer stations one, and one that came with a kind of big barrel silo thing with extra small scatter barrels.
Yes. Yeah.
All very cool.
Fuel cache.
Yeah, probably.
Big circular thing and barrels.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. It's got like the skull and cog on the end.
Mm.
So yeah, really well detailed, really good cast. I got them out when I got home and they've got a lot of releasing agent on them, so they're going to need a good soak.
Mm.
But they're really good detail and really good scale. I put up a couple of my Scion models on the engineer station and stuff, and they're exactly the right size.
Did you post photos to the best safe place on Facebook?
No, not yet.
Okay, maybe you should.
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. After I'll do that for this episode coming out. So, yeah, so I picked up three boxes of various things, all for my Zone Mortalis board, but potentially on other boards, but that's the main reason I picked them up. I was really impressed with the molds and the detail, and the scale looked about right.
They are nice looking.
Yeah, I want to buy two more sets, actually.
Oh, okay.
To fill the rest of the board out. Because one of them comes with wall panels.
Yeah.
That are like keypads and scan things. And I want them for where my doors are going.
Ooh. Yeah.
So I need another set for that. And it gives me another control panel. And another set gives you me more barrels and like it's like a beacon.
Yeah.
Like an industrial beacon. So they're really good for objectives. So I want to pick up two more of those.
Cool.
But yeah, they were my second purchase.
Cool.
And then my third purchase was the Hive Moor from Micro Art Studios.
Yes.
So this is hard foam Tyranid terrain. It's I already had some, I believe. So you might have bought them for me for Christmas, Sam. You know, the individual ones?
Yep.
Well, I bought the one that is three that go together with like a mouth in the middle. So it's like a giant kind of monster mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a centerpiece for a big area of space, again, on my Zone Mortalis board, just to break up the room so you can't just walk all the way across it. So, yeah, that was my third purchase. And I think that was everything I bought first go round.
Yes.
So let's go to Neil, and then I'll share my last purchase after we talk about the fox.
Right. Okay. So my first purchase has got nothing to do with Warhammer 40K.
Oh, of course not. No. This has to do with our other podcast, starting soon.
So on that bombshell, we are starting the Legion of Three podcast, which is a Star Wars Legion podcast.
It's going to happen. It is going to happen.
We're not doing that. I was saying to Neil, this is very much like the independent characters always used to talk about starting a fantasy podcast called like Independent Heroes or whatever it was. Yeah. I can't remember what the joke was. But you know, we are not starting another podcast.
I bought myself a Star Wars Legion AT-ST. I've been after...
Why?
Because it's a nice model.
It is a very nice model.
Yeah, I know, but what you gonna play the game?
Probably.
Right, okay.
I'm quite tempted.
We should do it, and then we can start the podcast.
They had a game going on, and we watched for a little bit, and it looks quite cool.
Straightforward?
We don't know, because it was dark.
Yeah, it was sadly in a kind of atmospheric room, which meant that it was actually quite dark, so you couldn't really see too much.
Okay.
Yeah. It was being run by Darksphere, actually.
It was Darksphere. Yeah,
because I had a Necromunda table with LEDs in it.
Yes, and then... very similar to your Amsterdam board.
Yes.
But again, it was dark, so it had lights and it had a smoke machine as well underneath it, pumping smoke out.
And then next to it was the Star Wars Legion table, which is like a snow terrain with glowing white crystals.
The glowing LED crystals, I think, were probably supposed to be like kyber crystals or something
like that, yeah. So, yeah, I bought that. because I've always wanted an AT-ST model. Originally, it was going to be a Imperial Assault one, but then this came out. It's just like, I'm having it.
And these are much nicer.
And yes, they are much nicer.
They are much nicer. It is cool. I mean, I pointed out to Neil, we were talking about it in the car on the way up there. I was saying, oh, do you know if you're going to play Imperial or Rebels? It's like, oh, I don't know. And then after he bought this, I was like, so Imperial then. Otherwise, like, this is pointless.
I don't know.
So, yeah. So, I'm evil of, Emperor Neil.
I'm thinking of all the potential terrain ideas for the base.
Yes.
And how I can develop my, I don't know what.
Terrain skills.
Terrain skills.
So you can make it as a crashed one? Where it's face planted?
No.
Maybe another one.
No, this one. Maybe this one could, you know, like laying down.
About, no.
You could have it as a towel, like a failed towel model.
This is a battle suit that didn't work.
Yeah.
A
battle suit that didn't work indeed, yes. And yeah, that was my only purchase.
On the first go around. Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah.
So you literally just bought something that wasn't for our gaming system.
Yeah.
Cool, awesome. And second time around, Matt?
So yeah, after the Fox, on our last kind of quick whip round, I picked up, actually two things I picked up. So I picked up six dice from the salute stand of all the colourways of the previous dice of the years I've been. Because you know they did two colours. Every year, like, and some of us got one color, other, they had them all in pots, all the different colors. So, I picked up every colorway that I didn't have in previous dice and the second poppy one. So, my one's red with black spots and a black poppy. So, I picked up the white one with the red poppy on it, And they were doing a thing where I think the guy was just doing it because it wasn't that bothered. It was like six for a pound, but I picked them up and he said, if you roll a six, you can have them for free. And I rolled a six, so he went, oh, there you go. So I got six dice for free, which was cool. So all the previous years of the different colorways I didn't have for salute and another one of this year's.
Yep.
So that's quite cool. Just chucked them in my dice. Just a fun little thing. Mm-hmm. Thought, why not? Like a pound towards something that I enjoy every year. Just a nice little way of supporting.
And it was free.
And it ended up being free. So, you know, I should have, to be honest, gone, oh, I have the pound anyway because you do a great event. I didn't do that, but I probably should have done. But yeah, so I got that, and then randomly, on like the second to last stall out the door, as it is, I saw this hexagonal cargo pod made of MDF that looked really cool. It's kind of like heightened off the floor, kind of on legs.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, it looked very sci-fi, very cool. I had this idea instantly pop into my head of doing one side ripped open and having that as like where the gene stealers got in to my Space Hulk or whatever.
Okay.
So that's my plan. I'm going to build it other than one end of it and then work out a way of maybe having it spewed open or at least like cracked with a bit missing. I have no idea. The company was a very small company. I didn't even, literally, I walked past, saw that it was £5 and just bought it and left. I didn't see a name on it. I will check it out. I'll post up the photos of the purchases when this podcast episode releases. So it's got some context. And I will find the slip. It's got little kind of building instructions in the bag.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm sure it's got a logo or something on it.
Cool.
But as at this moment, I am not sure what the company was. It was a small one. Most of their buildings were like 15 millimeter scale.
Right.
Like full buildings for other game systems. Yeah, yeah. This was one of the only three things I think that they did that was 28mm sci-fi.
Yeah.
But it looked awesome, so I bought it. It was an impulse buy.
It was an impulse buy.
But yeah, what about you now? What was your last thing?
My last purchase was...
You only purchased two things.
I only purchased... Yeah, two things. I made two purchases, basically. We found a third-party stand that did conversion bits.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember what they were called.
No, I can't remember the company either.
It
wasn't even their stall. It was a stall that did lots of different companies' stuff. And they had a kind of one little shelf of all these resin. Are they resin?
Yeah, they're resin.
Conversion bits. So like alternative Razorback turrets, satellite dishes to go on top of rhinos.
Yep.
Gun platforms or gun turrets for predators. Like lots of versions that are not easy to find.
Yeah.
So like conversion beamer turret for a predator.
Yes. Yeah. So I bought a twin-linked las cannon razorback style turret for the Salamander's Land Raider
conversion Phobos.
And then I also bought a bulldozer blade to go on the front of that as well.
Oh yes, you did. Yeah, I forgot that.
I've got to work out how I'm going to attach that.
Yeah,
because
find the Land Raider and work it out, I suppose.
But yeah, that was literally all I purchased for the day.
Very useful things. Yeah, that's everything we bought, actually. Yeah. I don't know what I was going to say there. I think I was going to ask the next question and realise I'm not asking the questions.
Cool. So what was your favourite / best value purchase?
Ooh. Mine was probably the resin terrain pieces, Tabletop Scenics from TT Combat.
Cool.
I was just so impressed with them, especially having got them out now and put models up against them. They're going to look really good on the board. It's one of those classic things. If I'd seen those, I probably wouldn't have purchased some of the other scatter bits that I have for my board that I'm now unlikely to use because I prefer these ones. I mean, they'll get used. I'm not like, oh no, damn it. But it was just one of those things. Like, these are so good, I'd happily... And I want to go through their full range online. I haven't done that yet.
There
might be ones that I haven't got yet that I'd quite like to have.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really impressed with them. They're really top quality. That was mine.
Yeah.
Cool. Yep.
I think it's the bulldozer blade and the twinning las cannon. It's just, well...
It's 40K related.
40K related.
Well, heresy related. Heresy. But
it was also good value. It was only sort of like £6 for each bit.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah.
Which you can't complain about, really.
No.
Not at all. Yeah, they were really cool. That was out of the blue as well. That was we were just walking around and I noticed the little logo. I can picture it. It's like green and it's like SP or something like that. Like it's two letters.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing them online and thinking like these are very close to Games Workshop. Like they're all made to fit on Rhinos, but they make their own kind of APC transporter.
Right.
And which it fits to. So that's how they get around it. Like it's made for that vehicle. If people are putting them on other vehicles, that's up to them.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that's how they get around it. But yeah, so they had like a couple of different antenna options for like command rhinos. I want to get one in the future for a command rhino.
I will
probably buy. And yeah, loads of turrets and stuff. They were really good. I remember seeing them online and being impressed. So I was quite happy I found them. I ended up not actually getting anything because I didn't need them. But I think everyone else, Mark Withers got something. Did Dr. Andrew buy something with us? No, he wasn't with us at that
point. He wasn't, no.
So it was just you and Mark, wasn't it? But we were all looking at them first go round and then we went back, didn't we? Yes, because you can only buy by cash at that place.
Yep.
That store.
The internet connection at the XL is rubbish.
Yeah, lots of them didn't have card facilities this year.
None of them had card facilities last year. I think Forge World did, and so did Forge World did, but they complained about the internet. And
obviously Wayland did because they're Wayland sponsors.
But again, they complained about the internet as well. Like,
okay, maybe I didn't notice it last year. This year, it was most stores were saying sorry, cash only.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like everything I bought, maybe it was just where I went.
Yeah.
Was just fine. Like I just paid on card.
I know last year you had cash.
That is true, actually. I probably did.
I was surprised when you said you had your card. I was like, well, I probably would just take my card.
I don't think I thought about it. No. I think I just took my card because I took my card.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I forgot that I brought cash last year.
Favorite stall / seller / game that you might have seen?
Exhibit.
Favorite thing?
Now, this is quite hard. I felt like this year was a bit blander than last year's. Maybe that was because we weren't in as big a group. We weren't staying as late, so it didn't feel as much of an event.
Oh, no, I felt like either.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big
if
thing.
If that's what helps your ego,
yeah,
that's
sure,
fine. But, yeah, there was something lacking in that sense of it being a kind of spectacle.
I think, yeah, we were...
I felt like I was on a shopping trip in a cool place that isn't always available, but it was a bit of a shopping trip.
Right, okay.
I think maybe because we had the knowledge that we were on a time constraint as well.
Yeah.
So we wanted to get things done and dusted.
Yeah, make sure we were home in time and stuff. Yeah, no, that's very true as well. I think, favourite stores there. I mean, Dark Sphere had probably the most standout thing. In terms of the Necromunda board was really cool, light up, smoke machine. It was the only kind of thing out that was like that there.
Yes.
The only problem was it was so dark in there, probably for that board to really light up, that you couldn't really see the Legion board, which was a shame.
Yeah.
I think they could have done with lighting it up a bit.
Somehow. Yeah, it would have made things a bit better.
I mean, they had a really cool World War One tank there.
Yes, yeah, they did.
That
actually,
was really awesome. Just a real tank parked up there. That looked really awesome. And it literally screamed like Spartan or old Land Raider to me.
Yeah, yeah.
That had the Sponson cannons on the side and everything. It was really cool. That was probably I remember seeing that and being like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
No, that was probably the only thing that made me do that. In terms of seller, carry on, I'm thinking.
I liked, they had a zombie apocalypse escape game
that
set up.
Was awesome, actually.
It was basically the entire layout of the event with all the cellars, all the tables set up, and they literally had like epic sized representations of certain things. And yeah, it was just, it was
like 5 mil or something.
Yeah, 5 mil. And it was just, they copied the entire layout, and the idea was that you had to get in, buy your stuff, and get out.
Before the zombies before got the you. Zombies so there was got a horde you. Of zombies, which were like pretty much the other people. And then you would control a dude and try and run around, buy stuff and run out and get out the exit before a zombie got you. And they had like a best painted area and all the stalls, like where Forge World was in the right place. And it was really fun.
Cool.
Like they told us about it, but we were kind of walking around shopping. So we didn't play the game. Mm. They just said I don't even know if it was a game you could take part in or if it was their group that was playing the game.
It might have been their group that was playing the game.
Which
but it was
does
just
happen a lot.
Yeah.
But the board was exceptional.
Yeah.
Like, it was great. Really
was
fun
it a company
idea.
Or was it a gaming group?
It was a gaming group.
Gaming group, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So that was really cool, yeah. That and the tank. In terms of seller, I don't know, like, TT Combat had a really good space this year, actually.
They did, yeah.
They had, everything was laid out much better than it was last year. It didn't feel as crammed, but we started at that end. So I think maybe that was just because people hadn't got there yet.
Yeah.
And they had really cool central area where they had bundle packs that you could just buy. So it was everything on this table, including the actual like street tiles or whatever tiles they had as the actual board, available, £100, one-click buy kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd go round and get it and give you the bag and be like, there you go.
Yeah.
And just their terrain, they've got more terrain than they had last year. Mm-hmm.
So that was TT?
TT Combat, yeah. I was really impressed with their stuff. And then having the resin stuff that I didn't even know they did. I think that surprised me the most, looked really professional, had lots of space. That was that was a really good stand.
They were quite impressive.
Cool.
Green Stuff World. I know I didn't buy anything from them, but they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had on display basically everything they sell.
Yeah, that's
true.
They had
their chameleonic paints on display, which are colour-shifting paints.
Oh, yeah?
With a sort of metallic tint to them.
Amazing for Alpha Legion. If you're doing Alpha Legion, that is the only paint I would buy.
You need to hunt them down and get that paint because it's just... It would work perfectly.
Yeah, it has that blue and green metallic kind of changing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Cool.
But yeah, I would definitely have bought stuff from them had I sort of known what I'd needed from them or there was something that I definitely wanted. They do like a larger version of the green stuff roller now.
Yeah.
So I've got the small one.
That's the rolling pin one.
It's the
you mean the tentacle roller?
The tentacle thing with the plate that you stick on one side. They've got a bigger version of that now.
Yeah.
And then they had all their rolling pins on display.
Yeah, which they did do a large proper rolling pin size as well as one that's like a permanent marker kind of size.
Yeah. And again, if I sort of needed something like that for making sort of a street part of a building or what have you, I definitely would get, but as I don't know what I need at the moment.
Yeah, it did open up the idea as well of me using that for the flooring in my Zone Mortalis.
Yes.
Laying something down on the floor and then rolling over it with like diamond plate pattern roller or something.
Yeah.
Which could be cool. Good way of texturing the floor on my Zone Mortalis board.
Yeah. That worked.
That was cool. But because I'm nowhere near that stage yet, and it was a completely new idea on the spot, I didn't buy anything.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, they had a cool little stand with everything on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So what was the main singular highlight of the day?
Oh.
I'd say the general time in the Fox for me.
Okay.
Like, I almost go for that every year now. Like, it was awesome that Andrew.
Yeah.
I feel weird just saying Andrew. Dr. Andrew.
Dr. Andrew.
joined us, and we could just sit down together and chat about what we bought and how we're feeling about the hobby. And we chatted about other life stuff as well. It almost, like, expands the day to be more of a day out with mates and meeting up with people rather than we're here to buy stuff and look at cool 30. To look at cool third-party stuff.
Yeah.
It expands the day for me, and it was just time to put your feet up, have a nice drink, have a nice meal this time around, and just chat. Yeah, that's probably the highlight for me.
Cool. Okay. Neil?
Going into the Fox and just sort of assimilating everything that you've sort of seen throughout the day. Is probably one of the best experiences of the day, just because you can sort of say, oh, well, what did you think of such and such? And then, you've got that whole sort of like, oh, well, yeah, I like this, or did you guys see this, or what have you? It's just, whereas when you're walking around, it's like, oh, that looks good, or that's flipping awesome. But actually being able to discuss it afterwards is always just adds to it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of opportunity talking about. So Tom joined us.
Yes, he did. Yeah,
Commander Tom from Chronicles of the Underhive, as well as Aaron, and they were talking about like paints they were picking up, and I think he ordered pre-ordered an airbrush, was looking at an airbrush that he's going to pre-order, but hasn't yet because he's moving soon. And
yes,
yeah, you know, and just all those general conversations of, oh, I saw this. This was really cool. I didn't pick it up because, or I did buy it. And here it is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like you just get an opportunity to geek share.
Yeah.
And that leads on to other conversations about how you're feeling about that army or that project and why you're doing this. And
yes.
It gave more reason to your purchases rather than just, I purchased stuff. Woohoo.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Cool. How do you think it compared to last year?
Ooh.
As in singular, better, worse, same.
I would say traveling so much better.
Oh yeah,
going in car is cheaper, and as long as someone's willing not to drink, like happy days.
Oh, that was.
I would do car every year from now on.
So much nicer.
You know what? I get what you're saying. I do get what you're saying. I do think in a car you would lose that if like 8 or 9 if you were going.
Yeah,
I think you'd lose that.
But as long as you had a couple of cars going up in convoy,
you're getting out
at the same time. You're going to walk around all day with each other.
But it's not, you don't get that travel part. So you don't get the fact that Tom tried eating raw chicken after it being in his bag for like 20 minutes.
We did talk about that.
Yeah.
I think the convenience was just so much nicer, though.
Yeah.
I think I could deal with it.
Okay.
Like, it'd be a trade-off, but I think I could deal with it. Especially, you know, being able to like leave at 8 in the morning was lovely.
Rather than,
be at the train station at 7.
Yeah,
I mean, we do go ridiculously early normally.
Yeah, but that's to get, like, we were in a similar place to the queue this year than we would have been.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. That was, I would say, better. Maybe I'm just getting old, but that
yeah, maybe so you're getting old. Nicer. I reckon you're getting old.
Yeah.
It's all right, you'll understand when you hit your 30s, Sam.
Nah, that's fine. I'll be young. I'll be young still.
In terms of the day overall, like, I don't want to say better or worse, because, like, it wasn't worse because of any company or any conversations, or we were there for less time.
Yeah.
I missed the evening.
Mm-hmm.
I missed that evening part sort of it. Of,
yeah.
That was a shame. So that had a bit of a dull point. And walking around, I think all of us, when we sat in the Fox, we felt a little bit like we haven't quite. It felt a bit like something was missing. We couldn't really put our fingers on it. Mm. It wasn't like we hadn't purchased anything yet. Or we hadn't seen everything yet. We had purchased stuff and seen everything.
Yeah.
And yet something was missing.
Me?
If you want to say it was you, I don't necessarily want... It definitely, because there was three of us and people joined in.
Yeah.
it was more of a shopping trip and we were just chatting and it was nice. But yeah, there's something about being a big group of guys.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Even if you separate for the purchasing just, bit, but then yeah, all meet up at back. The Fox. Yeah. And that has a different vibe.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So I was saying on that level, it was different. I think because of leaving earlier, last year had a bit more excitement about it.
Okay.
Yeah. I really hope that sometime in the future they do a kind of like a more sci-fi overall theme to it. Because the last few have been...
All of them.
Well, all of the ones we've been to have been... It feels like it's World War One, more historical, or steampunk.
I think we had one year that was steampunk.
Yeah.
And all the others were kind of historical.
Steampunk either. Was...
Civil Wars or the World Wars.
Yeah, steampunk was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think so.
So I would like to see a more sci-fi based one. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
No,
because I don't think. I guess
it depends on the gaming group, doesn't it? If they only play the majority, well, they play.
If that's what they're into, and wouldn't knock that at all. No. It's not a reason not to go either.
No,
but yeah, it would be cool to just have a kind of more sci-fi feel going on. That would be really cool.
Cool. Okay then, expectations versus reality. Did it meet up to your expectations?
Kind of shared. Part of me wants to say no, because we felt a little bit flat. I didn't feel as excited about my purchases this year, but I didn't have a big thing to go for.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when you're with everyone, you're kind of, oh, I got this and I got that. Whereas we weren't really talking about that in the Fox, because we were with each other the whole time. So there was that reality to it that kind of maybe didn't meet what I expected because of previous year's experiences.
Yeah.
But it was good. Like, I don't know. I feel like I can't find myself a place to go. I didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed every part of it.
Yeah, it was enjoyable. I just think there's a different sense of enjoyment when you are in a big group.
Yeah.
Cool. And then last question. Will you go again next year?
Yes.
Yes.
I would go again, even if it was me and Neil or just me and you, Sam, or me and Mark or whoever. I would go in that way, but I'd do it the same way I did it this year.
Yes.
If it was a small group, I'd just travel up in the car, do a shop, have some food at the Fox, chat to some guys in the afternoon, and go home and be home for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
If it was enough time for us, I felt.
Yeah.
If there was more of a big group or there was a big event going on, like, you know, say Carl and that came back over, or, you know, Loopy,
then it'd be a
completely different story. But yeah, I'd go again just to see third-party models, like pick up TT Combat stuff and Micro Art stuff, and just see what's around. I think that's always worth going. I think after doing it in such a small number, my preferred way of going is a large group.
Yeah,
it has an excitement about it that you just don't get in a small number of people.
Yeah,
cool. Sounds good. And that's it. That's all of my line of questioning. You are free to go. There's no charge.
Oh, okay. We haven't even name-dropped anyone. Well, I say we haven't.
I talked about seeing Jason and hanging out with Dr. Andrew and Tom and Aaron. Am I missing someone?
You forgot about Greg Dan.
Oh, yeah. We did chat to Greg. We bumped into Greg Dan. That was cool to see him. It was cool to see him. And Mark saw some guys from Company of Legends.
Yes.
Who he saw in March. We're obviously going in September, so that'll be interesting. I think that was kind of it. We saw Gav Thorpe on a stall.
We did indeed, yes.
And who else did we see?
We saw Templar's Crusade.
He was
looking in the tank as we were wandering around.
Yes. And there was, who else did we see? What's his name? He used to write codexes. He wrote the Space War one. He's like an awesome guy.
Aaron.
Phil Kelly. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. We saw Phil Kelly as well walking around.
Yeah, yeah.
With Dan Abnett. Dan Abnett was there as well.
See, I wouldn't know who any of them are. Like, hey, they walked in front of me, like, and...
Sorry, what? You didn't point
out... He was, like, gone before.
Damn it.
But yeah, I was more bothered about seeing Phil Kelly. I was like, he wrote an awesome Space Wolf Codex. Right. Dan Abnett, your book's good. It's fine. I've had him sign stuff now. It's fine.
Cool. So, verdicts was a yes. It was good.
Yeah, definitely a good year. Happy with my stuff. Mm-hmm.
We're going to go next year?
Yeah. Yes. Try and strum up some more interest. I think where people have had a year off, next year might feel a bit more like, oh, yeah, we should all go.
And again, I'll be going, so it means that
well, will
everyone...
you, though? Will
no,
you?
I will. So as soon as they get the will dates, you? If I put them in my phone, it means I can't double book myself. That's what
you
it is.
You somehow did it this year.
I didn't put it in my phone.
Well, that was stupid. Are you going to definitely put next year's in your phone?
Well, who knows? But I'll be going.
Why don't you check the dates now?
I don't think it's on there.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's
always a good opportunity to hang out with guys.
Yeah. You
know, like, it's if nothing else, it's the 1 year event where we get to hang out with Dr. Andrew.
It is indeed.
And that's enough.
When is he going to come and live with in Benfleet?
I don't know. I mean, we didn't. You weren't there, so that.
So
never
you can. We have hospitals issue. Here, Dr. Andrew. You can just come.
He's a doctor of physics.
We have universities here, Dr. Andrew. You can just come here. Doctor of physics? That's not a doctor. That's.
I'm sure he would beg to differ.
No, I'm sorry. You are a doctor. You're far more educated than I. They haven't put the dates on yet.
Oh.
So once it is on, we'll announce it. But we're going to be going next year. Come on down from wherever you may be and come have a drink with Matt, Neil, and Sam.
Indeed.
And probably come and you can come and meet all the people we talk about, like Tim and Tom and
Simon
and Chris and Tom and however many Toms we have now.
Yeah, there's always a few Toms knocking around.
I'll even try and persuade Gavin.
Gavin?
Fly back from Canada?
Fly back from Canada, yeah.
Like, okay.
Martin, coming back from Canada just for this one day.
Now, I tell you what, Adam, Master of the Forge, Adam, Loopy, I'm talking to you because sometimes you listen. If you come, I will give you that orc buggy that you always bang on about. I will present it to you as a free gift.
I mean, that's kind of like worth the £1,000 it's going to cost to fly over here.
Yeah.
That's how highly my conversions are.
Yeah, sure.
It's definitely not true.
Right, cool. Let's finish it there. And take a quick break, come back with hobby commitments and goodbyes, and we can figure out what Neil's actually going to do next month in his flat.
Hi, this is Mark from Frostfiend Studios. We specialise in painting Warhammer armies. If you want to know more about what we do and our services, please take a look at our Facebook page, Frostfiend Studios, or our website, frostfiend.com. Look forward to seeing you there.
So here we are, an end of another episode. Committing to things we're not going to do.
No.
I never achieve mine. You always do something else. And Neil is a 50-50.
Neil doesn't hobby.
He terrains.
Yes. I notice yours aren't based around terrain.
They aren't. It's good. I like the reason why behind his having a peek in the notes. I guess I'll start us off as we'll go down in order. Why not? I'm going to continue to finish my Night Lords. I'm going to aim to have a completed recon squad, which are very close, and a completed Contempt Dreadnought. If I get some paint on the Primarch, I'll be very happy indeed. But that is what I'm committing to. Finish recon squad, finish Dreadnought.
Cool.
On the same vein, I hope just to finish something.
Oh, okay.
Rather than start a load of
stuff. Okay, interesting.
So I need to, now I've got my ticket for September, I need to do a big push on my Mechanicum. So yes. Thanatar and 20 guys going to get done.
And cool. Then more purchasing.
And I'm going to have to start purchasing. Well, it's two models now. It's two kits.
Another Thanatar
and another three Daleks.
Oh, okay.
So I might buy them this month.
Is that it?
That's it. That's okay. Literally what I need to buy. Wow. And then I'm going to... Do you know what's going to happen? I'm going to beat you.
You're going to finish before me. I'm going to be really upset. That's what's going to happen.
Good.
Oh. Right. So I'm going to attempt to do more Salamander stuff because time is ticking away.
It is indeed. You haven't even started a Primarch and it's got to be finished in like 4 months.
Yeah, that's going to be a struggle. Yeah.
Awesome.
Good. Well... Neil's going to do some painting. Matt's going to try and do some stuff. And I'm actually going to achieve some work that I commit to rather than dilly-dallying around.
Yeah, don't forget, next episode, we'll be rounding out our Titan mini-series.
Yes.
Doing the Chaos Titans. We'll also be covering Xenos from the Eisenhorn trilogy. is a trilogy, right?
It is. Yep. Well,
it's now a quad trilogy.
It's now a series.
I guess, yeah, it's an ongoing series. Mm-hmm. But Xenos, Eisenhorn series, next month we'll be covering that review. So that'll be really cool. But until next time.
I've been Sam.
No, I've been Matt.
And I've been Neil. And this has been Legion of Three podcast.
No, go away. This has been the Adeptus Terra podcast.
Coverage of Xenos rim jobs.
Hope to see you soon. Sorry about this episode. And goodbye. I had this idea instantly pop in my...
Sorry.
I'm going to continue... just turn me off. I'm done. Right. I'm going to continue...
Me naked in a man thumb.
What?
Me naked in a man thumb.
Turn me off, Sam. Off.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Get down. Oh, no.
Neil shaving his head. Naked.
That's enough to turn anyone off.
I'm back in the room.
your supple, hairless body. is
this episode has been a weird episode, all right? There's been some weird comments in this episode. Indeed. And it all comes down to the blimmin' title.
Yes.
Should never have suggested it. Anyway.
That's better.
Yeah, I think so.
There's no delay.
I think it's good.
Yes, new delay.
Okay, you happy?
Every time. Hold on.
Oh.
Okay, I've turned the recording volume up, so we should.
Oh, awesome!
Ooh. Actually,
ooh. Hello,
Neil. Can you just float down the master a little bit? A little bit.
This one.
Yep. Go.
Hello.
Go. Stop. Right. Cool. That's better.
Hello and welcome to. Yeah, that doesn't seem too bad.
Yes.
Why did it stop following?
I've stopped talking.
No. What?
It stops following.
What do you mean?
But normally it follows along with... Oh, okay.
It's got to catch up.
Yeah. Right. Happy to start when you are.
Cool. We've got our Terra Talks episode segment. Oh, man, this is awful. We've got our Terra Talks... I nearly said episode again.
Just do it, Sam.
There was lots of noise there anyway.
Charge.
Oh, my phone's about to die. So.
Sounds everywhere.
I'm Tom.
I will kill you. With a sponge.
With a spoon. In Why a spoon? Eye. It's dull, it'll hurt more.
Cool. I've finished making noise now.
Awesome.
We're going to take a quick break and then come back at our next segment, and I'm going to do that again. Right, next up is the KX-139 Taunar. Right, we're going to take another quick break and come back. I can't do it today.